It's time for playoff football on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Today's game is brought to you in part by the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home, Creations with You in Mind, Middletown Pharmacy, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, JD's Junction, King Rock Memorials, the Middletown Home, With Kids in Mind, J&J Pizzeria, DHL, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, the Brownstone Cafe, Jack's Auto Sales, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, the Black Horse Tavern, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, the Hetrick Center, Jim Siebert's Garage, also by VFW Post 1620 and Midpen Bank. Now let's take it out to the game, to the WMSS Sports Crew.
This Middletown team, because this Notre Dame team likes to throw the football all over the field. We saw Middletown have a little bit of problems early last week against Scranton Prep when they were throwing it around.
I think the main thing here, there is a scheme situation between these two teams where you've got a Middletown team who comes into this game, wants to pound the ball, wants to run the ball, wants to stay balanced, though. But I think the running game is the place where, if we look at statistics, we look at some of the past games, Notre Dame Green Pond has had a little bit more trouble stopping the run. And on the other side, Notre Dame Green Pond, an explosive offense, especially through the air. They run a spread formation, sometimes as many as five receivers in the set. They'll go out there and they will throw the ball all over the place, but they still have a quality running game. So they want to stay balanced as well. But the two things that I think each of these teams does very well and what they prefer and are a little bit better at doing may match up a little bit with the other team's weakness defensively. So I think it's really important early on. We say this every week, but it's important early on for both these teams to establish their game, establish the line of scrimmage, and see who can get an early start. Team gets the early start, always playing from ahead is always a great thing in the playoffs.
All right, we're going to take time out. When we come back, Brian Kimes will talk to Brett Myers, the head coach of Middletown Blue Raiders. That was earlier this week, I believe. And he will also talk to Phil Stanball, the head coach of the Notre Dame Green Pond Crusaders. Again, it's Middletown and Notre Dame Green Pond in the Eastern Final here in AAA football in the state of Pennsylvania. We'll be back with more after this on the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Brian Kizer back on the pregame show alongside of Middletown head football coach Brett Myers. And, Coach, let's look back first at this past week's game. A very impressive performance from your team against Scranton Prep, a game where I think a lot of people coming into the game thought it was really a toss-up game, and your team just after a slow start really came out roaring, especially with that long drive to really take control of the game. Talk about what turned the tide, you thought, in that contest.
Well, in the end, Brian, I think that our players just, you know, stayed with the mentality to just keep playing and don't worry about the scoreboard, just get ready for the next play. And as it started rolling, they just kept going with that, and they weren't worried about whether they were up or down. They just wanted to play football that they were proud of.
The team did it in all facets. It wasn't just on the offensive side. Also getting touchdowns, special teams, and defense. Talk about to people about, you know, how much time is actually put in practice on especially like special teams and how important that facet of the game is.
Well, we work special teams every day of the week, and you know, Coach Kluzewicz is our special teams coordinator. He spends a ton of time on films looking for a weakness and figuring out ways to get, you know, Tyre in a good spot to be able to make plays. And you know, Tyre does a pretty good job of making plays sometimes when there's guys in front of him. But overall, we spend just as much time on special teams as we do everything else, and this week it showed.
Defensively, they came down, got a quick start on the team, but after a settling in period, it really seemed like the team solidified, and all of a sudden the battles in the trenches, even on both sides, really it was at best neutral, and most of the time your team was winning it. What was it that you guys saw, or what was it effort-wise that you saw that really turned things around in the trenches?
I think that opening drive when our, you know, it was first and goal, and we came away with a goal line stand. You know, we end up getting the ball on the 2-yard line, and we struggle a little bit there offensively. But I think that was a momentum swing early in the game that kind of sent a message to, you know, Scranton Prep, that with their size line, it really wasn't going to make a difference because of our D tackles' efforts and our DNs, you know, running to the ball and the mentality of our defense that they could pretty much stand up to their size in the trenches. And that was pretty clear after that drive.
The one knock that I think some people are looking at now is this team sometimes gets out the slow starts. And as you progress further, that's something that can come back and burn you. Is there something you can put your finger on that why the team is at least seeming that they're getting off to slower starts, and what can be done to correct it?
Well, I wasn't too worried about it until Saturday night when my 10-year-old son mentioned it to me that we're not scoring enough in the first quarter. So that pretty much made me a little more aware of it. But in the end, when you're scoring 40 points and you're holding people at 10, you know, it's just about getting in the flow of the game no matter what my 10-year-old says.
Well, I promise you, I didn't talk to him ahead of time before the interview. That wasn't part of my prep. But one thing was taking a look at Notre Dame Green Pond, the next opponent. And this is a team that presents definitely a different challenge than what Scranton Prep did because of some of the things that they do offensively. This is a team that they throw the ball extremely well. And it seems like it's definitely a different look this week.
Without a doubt, they're going to play most of the game with 5 wide receivers, and they have a young quarterback that's throwing an unbelievable amount of attempts and a lot of yards. So that kind of is a little different than some of the things we've seen. While we've seen some good passing attacks from teams like Camp Hill and, you know, even Lower Dolphin way back, this is a little different because of having 5 threats pretty much the entire game, that they'll be stretching us both vertically and horizontally, and you know, that'll put some stress on us, and we're going to have to be ready to play.
Something that always seems to be difficult when you face a team like that is trying to replicate that in practice. How difficult is it to replicate their kind of offense when it's something that it's not one of those things that we usually do and that you don't see very often during the season?
Well, it's not very easy, but the nice thing is our seniors have been jumping in, and you know, Chase has been running scout team quarterback all week, and we've been getting a lot of seniors playing wide receivers, even some of them that are running backs, to try to give a look that looks somewhat like Notre Dame. You know, so it's been a big help at practice having guys step up and volunteer to run scout team to do the best they can to prepare our defense.
Last question for you, Coach, is about the community support, because I think everybody would have been moved just taking a look at, you know, how many people traveled up to Bethlehem and supported this team. The crowd support was tremendous, and there's been community support for this team all year. Just talk about, you know, how important that sort of thing has been and continues to be.
Well, you know, it tells our kids that the people care outside of the program, and that's so nice to see. But in the end, it's kind of what I expect Middletown to be. You know, they've always loved their athletics, and they've always showed support, and they've always been there for their young men and ladies. And it's kind of, you know, the way it should be. You know, they're out, and they're following, and they're making sure that people are recognizing the true support and mindset of Middletown, and, you know, backing up their boys and letting playing a factor in the game.
Good luck.
Thanks, Brian.
Middletown head football coach Brett Myers back with more after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
The Middletown Home presents its annual Breakfast with Santa. Sunday, December 11th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., the public is invited to the Middletown Home for a free breakfast and free photos with Santa Claus. For more information, you can call 944-3351 or check out middletownhome.org. That's Breakfast with Santa at the Middletown Home, Sunday, December the 11th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite, or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers, or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Kaiser back on the pregame show alongside of Notre Dame head coach Phil Stanball. Coach, you have to be very proud of what your team has been able to accomplish this year, coming through such a difficult league in the Colonial and being able to get to this game. What was it about this team that gave you a sense early on that this was possible?
The thing that stood out to me right away with this group was that they're competitors. The kids wanted to be on this stage and at this time. This is something we prepared for. And, you know, we were focused on that throughout the season. And, you know, we're not here by accident. And we're ready to go after it.
Your league definitely gets you prepared every single season. The Colonials, if not the top, one of the top small school leagues in the entire state. Talk about how important that is coming in.
We found a lot of parity throughout the league. You know, we didn't have an easy game at all throughout the season. And, you know, we felt that prepared us for the playoffs. And, you know, we actually had to beat another Colonial League team to win the district title. So, you know, that in week in and week out competition has made us a better football team.
You had to replace an all-state quarterback. Sophomore's come in, and he's done a tremendous job. How has his development gone? How much have you seen him grow as this year has gone?
He's really taken a leadership role throughout the year. You know, he came into a situation as a young kid surrounded by seniors that, you know, he just had to do his job and spread the ball around and do those things. But as the year progressed, he really got to know these guys, and they accepted him right away. And he's having success because of the time that he puts into it. And I'm proud of him. You know, obviously I had a real good relationship with Trey, and I'm building a good relationship here with Cole.
Last thing for you, Coach. You got a chance to see Middletown live last week, and what do you expect from the Blue Raiders?
Well, I think they're an outstanding football team. They've got a lot of skill and speed all over the field. They're an aggressive defensive team, and we're going to have our work cut out for us tonight.
Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thanks a lot.
That was Notre Dame Green Pond head coach Phil Stambaugh. We'll be back with more after this here on the Fager Fickenbinder Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling? Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up home-style meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays, 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363 or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Welcome back to Hershey Park Stadium. John Wilsbach alongside Brian Kaiser and Steve Leedy. The Middletown Blue Raiders in the Eastern Championship, the state semifinal. Technically, they were there in 88 when there were less teams, less bracketing going on. But a monumental feat this season to be unbeaten and get here to this point.
Yeah, back in 1988, only four teams qualified for the state playoffs. It was kind of almost like an exploratory thing. It was the first time that they had state playoffs. So luckily things have evolved, and I think they're at a good spot now. And of course, PIAA jumping to six classifications opened it up even more for teams across the state. Wasn't so much we found out in District 3. There's actually less teams that qualify for the playoffs now in District 3, but Middletown is in with a lot of teams that we think they had a good chance against coming into this year, and they didn't disappoint us. They won the district title. We thought that coming into the year, Middletown would be a favorite in the district. They were. They won the district title against Wyomissing, and then they got that first state playoff win last week against Scranton Prep, and now here they are in the semifinals again. A huge game here tonight against a tough team from District 11.
You know, Brian, how many times have we seen in the history of sports teams highly touted before the season don't measure up to what was expected of them? And Steve and I both in the preseason and those first few broadcasts were mentioning how good this team was, where we expected them to be. By the middle of the season, we were talking about being in the state finals because we could see where this team was going. They have measured up and they have performed.
I think the true measure of a team is on a week-in and week-out basis. Are you able to bring a consistent effort to the field continue to have that intensity at the level it needs to match every single opponent that you come up against. And this Middletown team has been able to do that all year. I don't think there's any difficulty now getting up for this game or any other game for that matter. And this team has done that all season long. The key now is being true to yourself, being consistent with your effort. And that's what Middletown has to come out. One of the hallmarks that they've had all season long is they have not turned the football over. I think if they prevent themselves from turning the ball over in this game, they stand a very good chance to advance through this game. They have what at least looked like on film, an advantage up front. It looks like Middletown should be able to run the ball. That will make them more comfortable and will probably loosen up the passing game for Chase Snavely. On the other side of things, the question is going to be for Notre Dame Green Pond, is this a team with that spread formation? Can they put Middletown into very difficult situations in terms of coverage? I think the biggest key in this game on that side of the ball, can Middletown's four defensive linemen get pressure without the blitz tonight? If they can do that, Middletown's going to be pressuring the quarterback. The young sophomore has thrown 25 touchdowns, but also 13 interceptions on the season. So can they get pressure with the front four? If they can, they should be in very good shape in this game to try to help stop that spread offense. If they have to blitz, that's when they'll be a little bit more vulnerable.
Some of the big question marks of the week from last week, fans want to know, how is Brady Fox? And we've talked to the coach this week. It was a deep thigh bruise on that left leg. We saw that helmet contact last week on the leg, but he's walking, he's out there, he's practiced well, but I think they'll go a little reserve on him early.
Well, they'd like to. We'll put it that way. But also, he's practiced all week, and he also has some special padding that Coach Scott Souders had from his playing days, where it's an extra thick thigh pad that he's wearing at this point, and he's wearing that on both sides. Had some problems with it during practice because it didn't really mesh very well with the practice pants. Today, he's got them on, looks comfortable out there, watched him in warm-ups. He's moving very well.
Bobby Graham, 2 weeks ago, suffered a foot injury. They've been dealing with the swelling since it happened, and especially last week. They wanted to try him out, decided before the game that was down in Bethlehem, you know what, he's not ready. Let's play it safe. We're going to win this game. We'll get him next week. He's dressed. Will we see much of him?
I think it's going to be up to him and his tolerance on the pain and how much it's going. He's going to give everything he can. They are, I think, progressing with him in a manner where they're expecting him to play. They'll see how long he can go. They're hoping he can go the whole way. If he doesn't, though, it's not like the team hasn't stepped up behind him to cover things.
Corbin Stetler has been getting more work the past couple weeks, and pretty much, I think, back to normal now. We'll probably see him a little bit more again on the offense, a little bit more on the defense, especially in the secondary. Against this passing game of Notre Dame Green Pond, I would even expect to see a little bit more of Thompson out there in the secondary.
I would agree, and I think one of the things that Middletown will do in the secondary is I think you might see more substituting in the secondary to try to keep guys fresh. There's a guy on the other side of Notre Dame Green Pond, and Jalen Simpson, who has 65 catches. He's their deep threat, and a guy who just loves to see single coverage. They will line him up all over the place. They will not just put him out wide. They'll put him in the slot. They'll move him different places. How Middletown matches up against Simpson is going to be very important in terms of how they stop the Crusader passing attack.
All right, well, we are getting set here. We want to remind our listeners that you can check us out on Facebook throughout the evening. We're going to try to have some highlights for you from the sidelines as this game goes on. And, of course, the updated scores on Facebook from us, and some live chats at times as well. And coming up shortly and at halftime, we'll be chatting with Bull Swartz, player for Middletown back in 1975. And so much more in tonight's broadcast. We want you to stick around and enjoy it with us. If you are tuned in to our streaming online, if you're using a PC, personal computer, desktop computer, iPad, go ahead and use WMSSFM.com and click on the alternate stream. We have made improvements this week. We've added more streaming capability, and we're trying to keep things as balanced as possible. That way you folks won't overrun it tonight like we had last week and had a lot of buffering going on, and I'm sure a lot of expletives from you back home. But we did our best last week, Steve, and this week we've doubled our capacity for our listeners.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in this team from coast to coast. A lot of alumni listening from outside the state, from California to Florida. and all parts in between. This team has generated a lot of interest, and for good reason. This is a very good Middletown football team, a chance to play in the state final if they can be victorious here tonight.
All right, we're going to step out. When we come back, it's kickoff. Middletown and Notre Dame Green Pond, the Eastern Championship, and the AAA state semifinal after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and are home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Jim Siebert's Garage, 1649 South Cameron Street next to Dairy Queen, has been serving customers in Harrisburg, Steelton, Highspire, Middletown, and surrounding areas for many years. And they'd like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Raiders football team on a great season. They'd also like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Wave Marching Band. Siebert's Garage, fulfilling all your automotive needs, inspection and emissions, even small engine repair, lawnmowers, and snowblowers. That's Jim Siebert's Garage. Go Raiders!
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Good evening and welcome out to Hershey Park Stadium. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. It's the Eastern Championship State Semifinal in high school football in Triple A. Winds at about 12 mile an hour and gusting up over 25 is a crosswind from the near side to the far side going west to east. Middletown in the blue jerseys and gold pants and gold helmets, and Notre Dame Green Pond in the white jerseys and black pants and the white helmets. And for the play-by-play, here's Steve Leedy.
All right, thank you, John. As Middletown will be kicking off from right to left here at 91.1 on your FM dial. This will be Donovan Brady. Two booted away back deep. To receive is Mitch Daniel, Dylan Simpson, and also Gerald Grube for the Crusaders. 48 minutes for an appearance in the state championship game. Here's the kickoff. It is going to be tipped and bobbled around, still not being able to pick it up was Grube. Finally, he gets hit at the 20-yard line, and that is where the Crusaders will begin this football game.
Plumber, the first one down there, senior, help put him away.
Let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Crusaders with Cole DeFranco, the sophomore quarterback, replaced All-State Trey Jordan, who a season ago with the same type of offense threw for over 3,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, 6 picks. DeFranco is just a sophomore. Almost 2,900 coming in, 25 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Has four seniors across for wide receivers, Jalen Simpson, John Morin, Austin Callias, and Timmy Constantino. The running back, Mitch Daniel, great receiver as well as a 1,000-yard rusher.
Five wide, Franco, two pass. Now he's going to step up. He can run it as well. He head to the sideline, and he'll be knocked out of bounds after a gain of 5 yards to the 25-yard line.
That's Blake Jacoby, who's going to have to keep a tight eye on him in this game coming up from the outside. But you're going to see him sometimes charging in, trying to get him on some of those blitzes.
Offensive line of Andrew Stackhouse, who's a freshman, 250-pounder. Kristen Candelaria is a senior. Tommy Weber is a senior at center. Jack Nesbitt, a senior at right guard. And Mikey DiCatano is a junior right tackle, 240 pounds. Not a huge offensive line.
Three to the left, one to the right. It's going to be DeFranco keeping it himself, and he is going to get tackled by Bob Graham right around the line of scrimmage. He's able to fall forward to the 27 for a gain of two.
Actually, Griffin Radabaugh, the one getting to him on the outside far side, and he was going to get around that end, but Radabaugh not really fooled, and good speed.
But Graham is out there starting along with Radabaugh at tackle. Hayden Landis, Tristan Maxwell, the ends. Blake Jacoby, Hunter Landis, the linebackers. LaRon Woody, Tyre Mills, Kyle Truesdale, Trey Leach, Jonah McCoy, the secondary.
Daniel in motion to the left, and DeFranco in trouble, and he's going to be sacked. He's sacked back at the 21-yard line. It's fourth down, and Notre Dame will have to punt it away.
And the Raiders are going to have to do this all game. It's a strong passing attack by Notre Dame, but they have not experienced a blitz like Middletown can bring it.
And Hunter Landis came right through the gut. Everybody else was picked up, and it allowed the middle linebacker to get in there and get the sack. There was an opening on the outside. DeFranco never had a chance to unleash it to try to pick up the first.
Timmy Constantino is the punter. He'll be kicking from his own 10. Tyre Mills back at the 40-yard line. High snap, but it's fielded well, and it's kicked to Mills. He'll have a chance at the return. Does so at the 46-yard line. Cross midfield. Gets a block. Now tries to cut back and runs into some Crusader players at the 44-yard line. But good starting field position here for Middletown for their first possession.
Chase Snavely, the senior quarterback, throwing for almost 2,000 yards in the season, but his accuracy uncanny. A 68% pass for 20 touchdowns, just four picks on the year. Had a season-high 216 yards passing a week ago against Grant Prep. Tyre Mills, the junior speedster, is at one wide receiver. It's Chris Plummer at the other wide receiver. He had a huge game last week with four catches. Malik Noon, a senior tight end, with Jalen Thompson and Brady Fox, a senior and a junior at tailback.
Three receivers to the right side. It's going to be handoff to Thompson. Running that way. Cuts back 40, 35. Breaks to the outside. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. And he is going to be pushed out of bounds down at the 2-yard line. It was Simpson who is the only guy who can make the play for Notre Dame Green Pond.
The advantage in this game for Middletown is the guys up front. Trey Michael, Tom Staker, Ethan Newton, Griffin Radabaugh, Brendan Douglas, they've been doing it all year for this team. And on the first play from scrimmage, they blow back the 3-4 defense of this Notre Dame Green Pond Crusader squad, push them backwards, and then Jalen Thompson does the rest, picking his way through, finding a hole, bouncing it to the outside, patient running from Thompson, just 3 yards away from pay dirt.
Two receivers go way wide to the left side of the formation. Thompson in the backfield, Snavely. Shotgun, takes the snap, handoff, Thompson, hole up the middle, and he just pushes into the end zone. A 3-yard touchdown run for Jalen Thompson, and just like that, the Raiders are on the board first. It's 6-0.
And a sucker punch two times, a 3-and-out with the defense. Big run by Thompson, finishes it off. That's what you want to do, beat a team down early and take them out of the game.
Right. What Notre Dame Green Pond has done all season is they've struggled against the run. They've gotten better as the weeks have gone on. But this is a team that still, against the run, gives up 218 yards per game. This is a Middletown team that's going to try to take advantage of that great first drive, which is two plays.
Brady in for the extra point. Snap, hold, kick, up. It is good. We'll take timeout. 10-11 left to play in the first quarter. It is Middletown 7, Notre Dame Green Pond nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
MidPen Bank congratulates the Blue Raiders on a great season. MidPen Bank customers can count on banking made simple, including its simply free checking. MidPen Bank's Middletown branch is located in Lower Swatara Township, 1100 Spring Garden Drive. MidPen Bank is also online at midpenbank.com. Good luck, Raiders, from MidPen Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 would like to congratulate the Blue Raiders on a great season. The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown. For more information about joining the VFW Post 1620, you can call 944-3137 or check out VFWPost1620.com. Congratulations, Blue Raiders, from Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620.
On the board first with a 3-yard touchdown run for Jalen Thompson. Here's the kickoff. It is a high one. It's taken by Simpson at the 16-yard line. Brings it all the way across the field, and he will get punished at the 25-yard line. So Notre Dame Green Pond will have the football for the second time at their own 26.
Speed, Brian, speed. This Notre Dame team has not seen the speed the likes of Middletown this season.
I would agree with that. And what Middletown has in speed, it's what Notre Dame Green Pond, I think they feel that they have the speed advantage against a lot of the teams they play against, and that's why the spread works so well for them. They're seeing, in a way, in terms of that area, a mirror image, but just maybe a little bit more.
Five wide, DeFranco, shotgun, takes a snap. He will loft it, looking for Simpson down the sideline, and it's just a little bit out of his reach, but Thompson was there on coverage.
And that's the key. That's one of the moves that Middletown wanted to make this week, and that is Jalen Thompson's probably going to play a lot more on the secondary, specifically the speed of Thompson matching up against the speed of Simpson. You had the one-on-one matchup there right with him. Opportunity was there. Incomplete.
Second down and 10, Notre Dame at their own 26-yard line. Three receivers to the right. Now Daniel goes back in motion in the backfield. This is going to be a lateral. Daniel is going to run it, and he is going to go virtually nowhere. He gets 1 yard on the run.
Trey Leach making a great tackle in the open field for Middletown as that play was really sniffed out well, but it's a one-on-one tackle. Leach has to make that stop, and that's why Middletown has been so good defensively. Those one-on-one tackles, they don't miss many.
And look how smart they are. They're reading every time they walk up to the line. They're reading where they need to be. They read that play, almost picked it off, coming in off the end.
Five wide again. Now Daniel comes back into the backfield. Play fake to him. DeFranco has to run. He spins back into pressure. Now he just has to launch the ball out of bounds. That should be pass interference. He didn't get it past the line of scrimmage.
That's definitely grounding.
Has to be grounding.
It doesn't matter what it is. There's nobody anywhere near the area. And the referee.
Look at Brett Myers. He knows it too. That's an easy call for intentional.
Oh, there's no question about it. Hey, if you can get away with it, great move from the sophomore quarterback, because otherwise it's a sack of about 15 yards where he turned twice. A ton of pressure on third down. Definite passing downs. Blue Raiders coming with heat.
Constantino to punt. He'll do so from the 15. He gets the boot away. Mills is going to run by it, and it's going to bounce to him. He bobbles it, picks it up, though, at the 37-yard line. Breaks a tackle. Comes over to the left side of the field. He has McCoy blocking in front of him. Tries to jitterbug through them, but can't get through and is stopped at the 34-yard line.
It's just so much fun watching him. You know, we interviewed him last week after the game with Brett Myers, and you know, it's like, you know, he scares you back there, but you've given him the free rein of things. Brett's like, hey, he doesn't scare me. We have our trust in him. Let him do his thing right there, kind of just jogging. Sees McCoy in front. Okay, which way do I want to go here? But, you know, he didn't get anything out of that one, but we know he's deadly.
You never know when he's going to break one, and that's the dangerous thing for a defense or a special teams, because he's got that breakaway speed.
In motion comes Lopez. Handoff goes to Fox up the middle, trying to break tackles at the 36, and he's turned back 37-yard line, a gain of 3.
By the way, if you want to see that last touchdown, go to our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM Facebook, and Dan Magaro, our Facebook guy down in the end zone, had that touchdown.
We'll take a look at the Crusader defense after this play. They play a 3-4, and the three guys up front are guys, the pressure's on them tonight.
Mills comes in motion, goes deep back in the backfield. It's going to be a pitch back to Mills. Mills on the run, gets to the sideline, and he lost the football, and it's going to be picked up by Middletown. And I don't know why they blew that play dead. His Plummer picked it up.
Referee never saw it. He was looking at Mills getting driven out of bounds. Mills left the ball back on the field. That actually could have been a big play, and unfortunately for Middletown, this could be a big play in the negative way, because Mills out of bounds on the other side of the field, and he is not getting up right away.
Well, he landed on the yard marker on the far side and went down hard on top of that and may have bumped into someone else. But, yeah, he lost that ball while he was still in bounds. He went flying out. The ball just kind of sat there. The whistle never blew. Never blew. Thompson picked it up, was like, I'm going to start running it, and then they blew the whistle.
He's okay, walking off the field. Looks like he's going to be fine. Let's take a look at the Crusader defense with Jack Nesbitt, Brad DeBernardinis, Tommy Weber up front. The nose guard is the big guy at 280. The rest of the guys on this defense are smaller types. They try to do things with speed. And against this Middletown team, they match up with speed very well. You've got a linebacking core who makes a ton of tackles. Isaiah DeJesus and E.J. Medina at the outsides. Christian Candelaria, Mikey DiGaetano. Those guys have over 140 tackles apiece. Jalen Simpson, Timmy Constantino, Austin Kallias, and Mitch Daniel, the secondary. It's a team that plays a lot of guys both ways. Something to watch as this game goes on.
So give Mills a run of 5 yards on that play. It's third down and two for the Raiders, as they'll have slot to the left, wide right, Fox in the backfield with Snavely, who is in the shotgun. So third and two for Middletown's 42-yard line. Stettler goes in motion. There's a snap. Handoff goes to Fox. He cuts back, but he gets hit behind the line of scrimmage, and he's down at the 40-yard line. Lost 2 yards on the play, and Middletown will have to punt it away.
Excellent work by DiGaetano. He's a guy who averages 10.5 tackles per contest, their best sack guy as well, and that's because he is constantly looking and trying to explode through areas. I don't see a punter out there, Steve.
well, we haven't seen him much.
Trey Leach
is
the punter.
Okay.
Leach or Maxwell.
Yeah, Leach or Maxwell have punted.
I thought for a second that
they were
thinking about something.
Two guys back deep to return. There's the snap. Leach takes the snap. He'll run a little bit with it. Now he'll put it into the air on the run, and it'll bounce at the 40-yard line. It takes a Middletown bounce as it will roll across the 30 all the way down to the 28-yard line.
For a second, the way he was scrambling out there a little bit, I wasn't sure. You know, I think they give him also that free rein. If he sees it open, go ahead and take it. But still a good boot with a nasty crosswind right here from this side to the Notre Dame Green Pond side, but it got that Middletown bounce and went forward.
I thought I had seen Snavely still out there on the field. That's why I wasn't 100% sure.
And Mills is back out on the field, so he's okay and back in at defensive secondary.
Four receivers, two to both sides now. Man in motion is DeJesus. The handoff goes to Daniel, though, right up the middle, and he gets some room and a first down. Out across the 40 to the 41-yard line for a gain of 12 yards.
Found a hole on that left side. McCoy had to be the one to come up and stop him.
I'm surprised they didn't try before two straight drives of three straight passes and three and outs, that they didn't try to run the ball. He is a 1,000-yard runner.
Cole DeFranco going to keep it himself on first down. And the called QB draw, he'll go to the left side and gets to the 45-yard line, a gain of four.
I think from a play-calling standpoint, guys, this is what the Crusaders need to do a little bit more of. They've got to keep this Middletown defense guessing a little bit more. Try to establish a running game. That way it'll set up the passing game a little bit better.
Daniel in the backfield with DeFranco. Slot both sides. Second down and six. Quick pass. They're going to look, and it's going to be incomplete. Looking to get it to Simpson down the left sideline. Mills was in the area.
But this is what they do, and it's so quick. They waste no time. That time Mills hadn't even turned back to look yet, and that ball's already up, and we've seen that on film this season from this Notre Dame Green Pond team. DeFranco loves to get that up real quick, let the receivers do something with it.
Passing down, they've been bringing pressure. Let's see if they do it again.
They're down in six, man in motion, so three receivers to the right side. DeFranco steps up in the pocket, and he is going to get popped at the line of scrimmage. Falls forward for a gain of three, but it'll be fourth down and three.
They brought both middle backers straight up the gut. He was able to get past them, but Griffin Radiball, the defensive tackle, had stayed back, hung back just a little bit, and was waiting, was able to knock him down. This is an interesting down and distance because you're right around midfield. You can get a little trickery here if you want to try to maybe change the momentum.
Middletown takes timeout. We'll take one as well. 6:02 left to play in the opening quarter. It is Middletown 7, Notre Dame Green Pine nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbeiner, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbeiner, not just another funeral home.
Welcome back, Hershey Park Stadium. Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, 7-0 Middletown with the lead. Punt formation, or so we think, here for Notre Dame Green Pine. Mills is back to receive. It's going to be a punt on the run. Mills will drop back, fields it at 15-yard line. Gets a block, 20, headed to the sideline. Flag is thrown way behind the play over here on this side as Mills is tackled at the 40, or rather the 35-yard line.
Well, it seems as though Green Pine does similar to what Trey Leach does. Run a little bit to the right side, let the punter decide whether or not he wants to try to do something with it or punt it. It's not a bad play for either team to run their punters like that.
If it's a short yardage situation like they have there,
yeah.
I mean, it's a great play because if Middletown drops back or they gamble too much on one side to try to go for a block, punter sees something, they have the green light to go and try to take advantage of it.
Let's see what the flag is all about here. It's going to be a hold against Middletown. This is, again, this was way away from everything.
I think one of the guys must have tried to stop one of the gunners there and keep him from getting down that right side. That would be my guess with 5:48 to go here in the first. Coming up at halftime, Bull Schwartz from the 75 Middletown Blue Raider team. Stick around for that. We'll also run all the out-of-town scores, try to keep you up to date on Steel High and their game. I was calling it today, the Route 230 teams,
yeah.
Man, because Middletown up to Steelton, up to Harrisburg,
yep.
Right up 230, three teams getting it done.
First and 10 for Middletown here at their own 26-yard line following the penalty as Stetler goes in motion from the right side. It'll be a handoff. That's going to be up the middle. That is Fox trying to push forward across the 30, still pushing forward. Will be stopped at the 33-yard line. That is a gain of 7.
Obviously, we're seeing, the use of Thompson, Fox, Lopez now checking in. He's going to keep working all these backs.
Well, I think the interesting thing, too, though, John, is Jalen Thompson, who's been playing a lot more on the defensive side, not in there right now, and didn't get a carry on the last drive either.
Yeah.
Snavely in the gun, two receivers to the right. Mills is to the left. Snavely, play fake, back in the pocket. He'll throw, and it is going to be caught. No, it's not. It is incomplete. And we're looking to get it to Lopez from out of the backfield.
Little low, had to dive for it, could not get the hands under it.
And now it will be Thompson who comes in place of Fox here on this third down play. I would not be surprised, especially with the success that Thompson had the first drive of the game, for them to try to get this thing wide. It seems like a place where this team, this opponent that they have this week defensively, is vulnerable.
Two receivers to the right. Snavely with Thompson in the backfield. Lopez comes in motion. Handoff goes to Thompson. He'll go up the middle, hurdles forward, and gets the first down. Down to the 41-yard line and a first down on the 8-yard carry.
And in watching things on film, I've noticed that both of the outside linebackers, if you can get alignment to the second level and block those guys, they get blown off the ball. It's the middle linebackers who have to make a lot of the tackles. Great edge blocking by the Middletown offensive line.
Two receivers left, one right. Snavely will look to pass it deep, looking for Mills, and it's incomplete. Simpson was there on the coverage. Looks like those two guys are going to have a battle on both sides of the ball all night long.
Fastest guys on each team, probably. And the two of them are money men, and they're also speed burners who can take it to the house anytime they touch the football. That's why you're going to see the two of them right next to each other to try to prevent the other one from doing that.
Second down and 10 for the Raiders at their own 41. Lopez goes in motion and is going to draw an offsides penalty on Notre Dame Green Pond as Tommy Weber just flew across the line of scrimmage.
Tommy Weber, one of the transfers from Bethlehem Catholic. This team got four different guys from Bethlehem Catholic that transferred from there to Notre Dame Green Pond before this season. The other guy who transferred in, Cole DeFranco, their quarterback, came in from Nazareth. So this is a team that got several transfers that helped them out to really solidify this team that a year ago won the District 11 AA championship.
We have an official stoppage here for something. Not sure what. But it'll be a second down and 5 for Middletown at their own 45-yard line. 7-0 the Raiders lead here with 4:41 to play in the first quarter.
I think it's a clock thing. They're going to fix the clock. Hey, anytime on this field, there's no communication from the field officials up to the box. So they have to go through one of the teams. They usually come to the home team side, have them send it up through the headsets there. And then the coaches, one of the coaches, in this case, John Dickey, goes down and lets them know to set the clock, add 5 seconds to it.
Second down and five, two receivers to the left. Going to be a handoff. Thompson just going up the middle, and he is going to get ripped down by Matt DeBardenis.
280 pounds of a senior defensive tackle. He's got a tough job, too. And the 3-4, that nose guard is usually going to get double-teamed. On that play, he was able to beat the blocking, get some penetration, and sets up a passing situation for the Blue Raider offense.
On either side, Lopez goes in motion. It's going to be a handoff. That's Fox up the middle. Big hole. First down. Tackled into Crusaders territory at the 44-yard line. That's a gain of 10.
And Medina, the only one getting him there by the ankles. If not, he was going to get more out of that.
And a great call because it's a passing situation. You get a quick trap. You catch the nose guard off balance. You have the two linebackers cheating to the outside trying to check outside gaps, and Fox is able to hit that hole hard.
Slot right. Lopez comes in motion to the left. Play fake. Snavely looking for that deep post, looking for Mills, and it's just overthrown and incomplete.
They had the matchup they wanted to, guys, because it was not Simpson, but it was Timmy Constantino, the other defensive back, not quite as fast and did not stick with Mills. Ball just thrown too high.
And again, that wind's picking it up a little bit, too. It is gusting over 20 here from this near side to the far side. So he's working that crosswind.
Slot right side, second down and 10. Middletown at the Crusaders' 44-yard line. 4 minutes exactly on the clock here in the first quarter. Snavely, shotgun, high snap, hands it off to Fox, and he gets brought down in the backfield by Mikey DiGattano.
DiGattano, man, blew through someone. Was able to get them low and take them right out. You don't see that very often this season,
well,
that's for sure.
Again, they're double-taming the nose, yeah. And that means he's trying to read those blocks and shoot a gap. Sometimes you'll guess right, sometimes you'll guess wrong. You guess wrong, it's a huge gain. We already saw a couple of those. This time he guesses right as a stop in a long yardage situation.
Double wing, fake the handoff to Lopez, again, deep down the field, and it is going to be broken up. It was into double coverage looking to get at the Plumber, but it was knocked down by either Constantino or Collius.
Well, the Green Pond folks scouting have to know that Middletown has been very successful this season on that deep post pattern. They're going to have to mix it up a little bit more. Go for a few outs, couple short slants instead of the deeper slants, and and show something else.
But if you don't see the safety dropping back to help out, he read the corner correctly, but the safety helping out was the guy who ends up knocking the ball away. So a good play there by that guy, Collius.
There's a snap to Leach, who's in the punt. He'll boot it on the run. And it's going to be at the 25-yard line and bounce right out of bounds, right close to there. They're going to call it out at the 24-yard line.
He's trying to keep it to the right side, the far side, which is fine because the wind's going that way, but he's not gauging the wind enough, and it's going out of bounds or going to the right just a little bit too soon. So he's going to have to figure that in if he's going to have to punt anymore in this game, but he's definitely picking the right side.
Well, that's the problem. He's out of practice. He's only punted nine times on the season. The Middletown as a team has only punted nine times
right.
On the season coming into this game.
Maxwell had some of them.
They may actually have to allow Leach, if they punt again, they may give him a break.
Three receivers to the right, two to the left. Now Daniel comes in motion. It's going to be a pass across the middle. That is going to be caught by Constantino. Breaks a tackle, gets to the outside. McCoy is going to slow him up and tackle him just short of midfield.
It's a great play by McCoy. Otherwise, that's an even bigger game. He was able to deke the blocker who was coming down to knock him over, got around him, and still makes a good tackle. But that slip screen over the middle is a staple play in this offense, and Middletown did not stay home in the middle. When they blitz the linebackers, it exposes the middle.
Raiders got burned on the screen last week first time. After that, they settled down.
Hand off to Daniel. He lost it. He's going to have to eat it back at the 42-yard line. Good job by Daniel just to dive on the ball. But it's going to be a loss of about 7 yards.
Bad job, though, by the quarterback handoff exchange there, because on the way by on that jet motion, he held on to it too long. Daniel didn't catch it cleanly, and Daniel already had his head up the field looking for where he wanted to run and didn't have the ball tucked away yet.
I don't think he was expecting it.
Three receivers to the left side. It's going to be a quick throw down, and it is overthrown looking for John Moran, but it is overthrown and incomplete.
overthrown so far that the Raiders actually had Stetler almost in a good position to get that. But, you know, he just had to be just a couple yards deeper and would have been there. But it's nice to see that they're keeping him deep enough beyond this coverage, making sure as kind of the prevent guy to make sure that the big pass play doesn't happen.
Had to throw it early, too, because Middletown had pressure off the edge in Hayden Landis.
Three to the left, two to the right, third down 17 for the Crusaders. Daniel comes in motion over to the left side, so four guys that way. DeFranco is going to pass deep, looking for Simpson, and it is going to be incomplete. Great play by Mills to knock it away because Simpson had a step.
Yeah, Simpson should have had it, but a great play by Mills indeed because he was pulling it in, and as he pulled it down, pulled it in, Mills behind him got the arm around and batted it out.
There's a flag back here anyway.
It's going to be... I think it was holding. Yep.
Yeah, it'll be declined, I'm sure.
No question about that. You want the football back. That play, it shows that the quick step of Simpson off the line of scrimmage, if that ball is put in front of him, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Instead, it was thrown just enough so he had to slow up, and it allowed Mills, with his great speed, to close and get the hand in there.
Constantino in to punt. For the Crusaders, Mills back to receive at his own 20-yard line. Here's the snap. Constantino will put the boot to it, kicks it to the left side, kicks it away from everybody, and it's going to roll to a stop down at the 22-yard line.
And how often did we see this season, especially early on in the season, when we weren't sure how good the secondary was for Middletown, we saw them give up the space in their coverage, the throw would go, and from your position watching the play from the stands, it almost looked like, wow, this guy's wide open. He's going to make the catch. And the next thing you know, the Raiders, with their quickness, were right on top of the receiver, tackling, knocking it down, or intercepting.
First and 10 for Middletown of their own 22-yard line. The Raiders lead 7-0, 2:07 left to play in the first quarter. Handoff up the middle, and that's going to be out to the 30-yard line. And that was Thompson.
Updated score from the other part of the bracket in AAA, the matchup there tonight, Beaver Falls against Martinsburg Central. Martinsburg Central has the 7-0 lead in the first quarter against Beaver Falls.
Second down and two. And off goes to Fox, goes right side, has a hole, 35 to the outside, 40, 45, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds around the 40. They're going to say stepped out right at the 45, it looks like.
They got some great blocking on the outside. You know, how hard have these receivers worked for Middletown this season, and the wing backs, whoever's out there? Those guys are always making sure they do the right containing, pick up the man. They're working for each other.
Slot left, wide right, handoff goes to Fox, running to the right side, and he tries to cut back to the middle, and he's going to be stuffed at the line of scrimmage. He comes out, and Mills gets it, but they're going to call him down.
I think he realized he was not going to get anything else left or right and just decided, you know, take my lump right here, and decided to just put the head down and try to get what he could out of it.
But a counter probably works against this team now. Now they're overflowing, over-pursuing to the ball. We'll see if Middletown goes with that soon.
And off goes to Thompson, tries to get to the outside. He is going to be stuffed up, and no gain on the play once again.
Do you notice again on that play, though, guys, Middletown, the motion's all to the right-hand side. And the entire defense, there's no white shirts over on this backside of the play. I think that counter is something that later on in this game they can pull out of the back pocket, throw it out there, and really hit a big one.
Third down and 10. Two receivers to the right. Mills comes in close to the left. Fox goes in motion towards the right side. Snavely takes the snap. There's a free rusher. It's a screen to the backside to Leach. Picks up a block. Midfield, 45, 35, 30. One man to beat, tries to cut back. He does so, 10-5, touchdown. Trey Leach, 55-yard touchdown reception, and it is 13-0 Raiders.
You know, I stopped over on Thanksgiving morning just to see practice last week, and as I got there, they were practicing the screen. And I was thinking, wow, I haven't seen that in the last four or five games. They haven't had to use it since the beginning of the season for the most part.
And it was a great time. And what did they do? They roll to the right side. All the pressure goes that way. So instead of using the counter run, they use the counter sort of throwback screen and leads some great open field blocking down the field for him and leads us the rest.
Brady in for the extra point. It's on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout. 17 seconds left in the first quarter. It is Middletown 14, Notre Dame Green Pond nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner for your home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations with you in mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with you in mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with you in mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Seconds left in the first quarter here from Hershey Park Stadium. Middletown with a 14-0 lead over Notre Dame Green Pond from Easton, District 11. That was a 5-play, 78-yard drive. Took a minute and 50 seconds. And the big play, the touchdown pass from Snavely to Leach on the backside screen.
And Snavely had not started out very accurate in the early going. That's a good one to get him going a little bit more rhythm out of the passing game. Also helps that he gets it for a touchdown as well.
I think Leach was surprised when he caught that ball and he turned around. And it was kind of like, wow, I don't need to pick which side to go. Look at the blocking here. It was all spread out. No one really over there because they all bit from Notre Dame Green Pond, and he knew at that point, hey, just start following the guys. Here we go.
By the way, quick scoring update out west. It is 20-0, Bishop Guilfoyle leading Steel High in single-A semifinal action.
Not really shocking
no.
there.
I'd be surprised if they stay within 50 tonight.
Kickoff goes to Grubb. He'll return it to the 33-yard line. 10 seconds left in the quarter here, and the Crusaders find themselves down 5-14.
Well, what a great season and late season bid Steel High has made. And, you know, some pride there and congratulations on how well they played here at the end of the season.
Single A football, you know, they play up in class in a very tough division. I mean, look at the teams they played this year. This Middletown team, Camp Hill, who probably wins District 3 AA if they even are able to get in the actual tournament. Milton Hershey, East Pennsboro, Paul Meyer. I mean, all those teams in the way of a single-A team like Steel High. Great story.
Three to the left, one to the right. Franco in the pocket. He's jittering around. Now he's going to have to run. He's being chased, and he will get hit and dropped at the 42-yard line. A gain of 9, almost enough for a first down. But that's going to take us to the end of the first quarter. So we will take timeout. Our score after one quarter of play, it is Middletown 14, Notre Dame Green Pond nothing. Back with the second quarter after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner for your home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles, and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
Start of the second quarter here from Hershey Park Stadium in this state semifinal game. Middletown leads Notre Dame Green Pond 14-0. A second and one here for the Crusaders at their own 42-yard line. Three receivers left, one to the right. Handoff's going to go to Daniel, and the ball pops out. DeFranco picks it up, and he's going to have to just go down at the 34-yard line. So they're going to lose a bunch. It's going to be third down at about 9.
They're flustered right now, guys. Yeah. They have taken a couple smacks in the mouth from the Middletown offense. And defensively, Middletown has gotten after them and has not allowed them to get into any rhythm. Any spread offense, you want to have a rhythm, and that has not been allowed in the first quarter by Middletown.
Ball back to the 35-yard line. Third down and 8. Quick pass out to the side. That's caught by Callius, and he'll be tripped up short of the first down. Give him about 7 yards. It's going to be 4th and 2.
We have updated our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. Dan McGarrell on the sideline with that last touchdown by Trey Leach. So check out WMSS 91.1 FM on Facebook. You don't have to have a Facebook account. You can get on there and still see that highlight, if I'm not mistaken.
Middletown will run the punt coverage team out when they see the same personnel. Do not be surprised if they run a fake, if they see anything here, because they need some sort of a spark, Notre Dame Green Pond does right now.
Constantino is the punter. We see him dance around in the backfield. We'll see what he can do here. He will punt it on the run, a high short kick, and it's going to fall and take a Middletown bounce. You take the old 60-degree wedge there, and it backs up about 7 or 8 yards.
And Green Pond did a poor job at defending the bounce back.
Yep.
You've got to have someone in front of that ball to make sure it goes to the north, not back to the south.
You've got to recognize what's going on, and they did not. They didn't find the ball. It's important for the coverage team to find the ball just as much as is the return team to find the football. 20-yard punt, all they get out of it. They go for it there. Maybe they make the first down. They've only gotten 20 yards of field position as a result of kicking it away.
The receivers out to the right side for Middletown, 1st and 10 at their own 37-yard line. Handoff goes to Thompson, goes left, now tries to work back to the middle and pushes the pile forward out to the 45-yard line, a gain of 8 yards for Thompson, who's at 68 yards on 7 carries.
Took his time, followed his blocking. They kept driving.
I like the matchup of Trey Michael over on that left-hand side against the linebacker, Isaiah DeJesus. Big size mismatch.
They've got a player jumping across, and it looked like Tommy Weber again. Yeah.
Weber, for the second time in this game, caught off guard by the hard snap count of Snavely.
And Maxwell just stayed in that position, just kept his head up, and the whistle blew with the offside. He just nodded his head forward at him like, congratulations, you did it again.
First down and 10 for Middletown at midfield. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Snavely, handoff. Fox coming to the right side. Now cuts back, and he's going to be thrown forward for a gain of 5 to the 45-yard line.
Important to note that Brady Fox right now does not look like he's showing any signs of the deep thigh bruise he suffered a week ago. Looks very comfortable out there running with a ferocity that we have gotten used to seeing all season.
Injured Notre Dame Green Pond player on the far side.
Gives us a chance to give some updated scores across the state. Bishop Guilfoyle, we already said, they were up 20 to nothing. The other single-A game, Clairton has an early 6-0 lead on Farrell. Double-A, trying to figure out who that is. Ligonier Valley and Southern Columbia. It's Southern Columbia who has a 7-0 lead there. Steel Valley has the lead on Wilmington in the other double-A game, and that is a 7-0 lead also. Let's go to 4-A. 4A is Berks Catholic Erie Cathedral Prep, tied at 7 right now in the first quarter. The other game, Bethlehem Catholic Imhotep Charter, no updated score from that one yet. You've got 5A with Archbishop Wood, a 7-0 advantage on Academy Park in a colossal matchup there. Harrisburg West Alleghenies tomorrow afternoon at Altoona, one of the few games that's going on then, except for all of the 6A games. St. Joe's Prep, North Penn tomorrow. And so is Pittsburgh Central Catholic Wilson.
It's Mitch Daniel who was injured, and he's over on the sideline. He was beating on the bench over there, some sort of leg injury. Handoff goes to Fox, cuts back. He has the first down. He'll be tackled at the 35-yard line. That's another gain of 10 yards for this Middletown running game.
And he's going to come off the field. He's just kind of jogging a little bit, but a little gingerly. Again, they had that upper leg, that thigh protected. But you can bet that they're going to try to hold him out as much as they can if they see more of that type of walking.
Pitch to Thompson. He's got a convoy in front. 25 gets to the sideline, cuts back. 20 still on his feet and will be tackled at the 15-yard line. Another big run for Middletown.
We've mentioned all season how when either Fox or Thompson get the football, they expect to be in the end zone every single time. And they don't want to go down. They're going to cut back. They're going to weave. They're going to spin.
Handoff, Thompson, up the middle, and he is hit low and dives forward down to the 10-yard line. It'll be second down and 6 for Middletown at the Notre Dame Green Pond 10-yard line. Just under 9 minutes to play in the first half, Middletown leading 14-0.
Yeah, and the blocking up front has been great. And what Middletown's doing on those outside runs, they're setting the edge. On the one previous, Justin Mayerski, a great seal block to allow Thompson to get around the end.
And a motion to the right side, that Stettler handoff is going to go to Thompson. Cuts back at the 5, and he's going to be spun down right around the line to gain. We'll see how much forward progress they give him. It might be first and goal at the 4.
Couple of pulling guards leading the way, and the good read by Thompson of the block by Tommy Staker, the 4-year starter at left guard, cuts back to the inside. Very close, and they're going to give it to him, a first and goal for the Blue Raiders.
First and goal at the 4-yard line, 2 receivers to the left. Fox is back in there at running back. He'll get the give. Pressure in the backfield immediately, and they are ripping at the ball, and they take him down a little late after the whistle, but I'll agree with the no call there, but Fox loses 2 on the play.
I'll agree with Trey. Michael, too, coming over and immediately grabbing his running back to make sure, hey, we don't need anything right now. Fox didn't show anything that he was going to do that, but Michael making sure, senior stepping in there going, let's keep our heads. We've got the lead and a great situation.
Thompson back in there. Everybody in tight. It's going to be a pitch. Thompson, 5, and he's going to fight his way close, and he gets in. Touchdown, Middletown, a 6-yard touchdown run for Jalen Thompson. His second touchdown run of the game. He's up to 105 yards on the ground, and the Raiders lead 20-0.
And that's just student body right. Send everyone to the outside. And while Middletown may not be running for great yardage in between the tackles, it keeps the defense honest, and it allows you to hit the edge where they have a major advantage getting the outside, especially with the speed of Thompson, getting to that outside early and then fighting his way, showing a lot of more power than I think he's given credit for. Gets into the end zone for the 3rd Blue Raider score.
Radian for the extra point. Snap. Old kick on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout. 7:48 left to play in the first half. It's all Raiders. It's 21-0 over Notre Dame Green Pond. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
.48 up to play in the first half here from Hershey Park Stadium, and Middletown is out 21-0 here over Notre Dame Green Pond. As that drive from Middletown, 8 plays, 63 yards, 2 minutes and 46 seconds, and Mitch Daniel is in to return the kick, so he's at least okay enough to get back out there for this Notre Dame Green Pond team.
Check out our Facebook page. Dan McGarrow with another one down there on the sideline getting that touchdown.
Kickoff will go down the middle. It's going to be Daniel who fields it at the 10-yard line. 15 comes back to the other side and into trouble, and he's going to be dropped at the 24-yard line.
How big is this drive now for the Crusaders who come into this one down 21-0? This is a similar situation. Not the first time they faced this year. They were down 21-0 earlier this year, the first time they played Penn Argyl. Unfortunately for them, they lost that game 35-14, and it's a team that is doing exactly the same thing that Middletown is doing in this game, running at them, pounding the football, and being able to dominate the line of scrimmage. It's up to this passing game to find some rhythm now, as this sophomore quarterback needs to be given a little bit of time to throw to his receivers. Cole DeFranco, he's struggling.
3 receivers to the left. It's going to be a quick toss out of the man in motion. That is Moran, and he is going to be tackled after a short gain out along the sideline, giving progress up to the 28-yard line.
Truesdale there, good coverage. Make sure he was right in front, stayed with that motion, and got to him as soon as he caught the football.
I'm surprised they haven't been doing more of that to try to get this pass game going, and that is little quick passes to the outside. They also haven't used a running back out of the backfield, which has been effective for them all season long.
Daniel comes back into the backfield. He'll get the handoff and tries to go forward and just dives through the little hole that was there and manages to get out to the 33-yard line. And we have an official stoppage for something.
great opportunity to remind fans out there that the Blue and Gold Club still has plenty of bricks on the Raider wall at Middletown's War Memorial Field.
Is that a chop block? Chop block against Notre Dame?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't even see the flag.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's, well, that's
gone. It was snuck. You got to remember, the chop block's going to be right in the interior of the line most of the time. And that yellow flag going to clash with the Middletown gold pants. Tough to pick that up. Referees didn't miss the penalty, though. And that's a huge blow. Look for them to look for Simpson.
Takes it back to the 16-yard line. So second down and about 20. DeFranco will look deep down across the middle. It is caught incomplete. And luckily they called it incomplete because the ball came free and ended right in the hands of McCoy.
Austin Callius had his hands on the football, and Tyre Mills would not allow him to have a clean catch, dislodges the ball with a rib-shattering hit.
And he started moving before the snap. Mills did with him, but then the slant to the inside. And again, he stays off of him just a few yards, but as soon as that ball goes up, boom, he's back in to catch back up.
Four receivers to the right side, one to the left. DeFranco looking, and he is in trouble in the backfield. He has to scramble, and he's going to get hit, and he's going to be sacked back inside the 10-yard line. About three different Raiders had hands on him, and it's going to be fourth down and long, and Notre Dame's going to have to punt it again.
They were just looking to throw a quick fade down the sideline, and he didn't have time to set up for that. You had Hunter Landis setting the getting around the edge on the one side. You had Maxwell coming on the near side. He steps up. He steps over. Then Hayden Landis is there to help clean things up. Bobby Graham got a piece of that one. Everybody in there on the defensive line.
It's a buffet for the defense.
Constantino back to kick at his own goal line. He'll just boot it traditionally here, as it's going to be Mills who who muffs it and then picks it up. And we'll return it a couple yards inside the 40-yard line.
Look, he's got practice on that all season. He knows how to just, you know, drop them, pick them back up, let them bounce into them, grab them again. Yeah, he's an expert at it. And again, Brett Meyer says, I don't worry about him. We trust him. We know he's going to make things exciting happen out there.
Sorry, I didn't trust him on that one myself. That did not look good. He completely misjudged the football. The ball ends up taking a nice hop to him. Could have been bad. It ends up being just fine for Middletown.
Raiders at the Crusaders 39-yard line. High snap. Fielded down and hand off to Fox, just pushing the pile and getting through the small hole that was there. And he gets down to the 32-yard line. That's a gain of 7 yards.
And now, at this stage of the game, with so many players playing both ways for Notre Dame, Green Pond and Middletown already having that strength advantage at the line of scrimmage, let's see if that continues to wear this team down as Middletown tries to put the hammer down against the Crusaders.
Two receivers to the right. Handoff going to go to Fox, running that way. Now cuts back, sees a hole. 30, 25, 20. He's in the clear. 10, 5, touchdown. Brady Fox, 32 yards, and it is 27-0 Raiders.
Tommy Staker, one of those leading the way up the middle, and he saw Staker take out one of the linebackers, pushed him more to the inside, and that was it. He knew where he wanted to go.
Griffin Radabaugh had a great block on the play. You also had Lopez, who had a good block to the inside that sealed one of the linebackers off. And Brady Fox, with a very patient run, looking, reading his blocks, and then when it was time, explodes past into the end zone for touchdown number 4 for Middletown.
I'm starting to smell mercy.
Let's calm down here a second.
Yeah. There's the extra point. It is on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout. 5:23 left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 28, Notre Dame Green Pond nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 28, Notre Dame Green Pond nothing. That drive for Middletown, two plays, 39 yards, 38 seconds off the clock, and Middletown is just unstoppable here on the ground.
Unstoppable all season.
Well, we knew coming in the matchup that did not look good for Notre Dame Green Pond was the fact that they could be run on, and this Middletown has obliged.
Kickoff will go straight down the middle. Daniel fields it at the 12-yard line, headed to the right side, headed towards the sideline. He's going to be pushed out across the 30-yard line and out at the 34.
Well, that'll give our fans here, if we get a mercy rule at some point, get back and go to J&J Pizza or JD's Junction or the Black Horse Grill, even maybe even the Brownstone, they keep it up. Get everybody back in time to get some food to their sponsor.
You keep saying that mercy rule. You're forgetting something. At this stage in the game, there's no mercy.
There's no
mercy from this defense.
That's right. There is none. But, of course, that wouldn't take place until the second half of this game, folks.
Three receivers to the left, two to the right as Daniel goes in motion. DeFranco, they're going to look for a screen, and they get it to Callius. He's going across the field. He'll be tackled after a gain of about 8 yards to the 42.
Had to do a lot of east-west running there just to get what he got. But that slip screen, if you want to call it, just right across the middle, needed a little help, but there was no way he was going north and south.
And there's the one and only play that has really worked for the offense here in the first half. Tells you all you need to know about what Notre Dame Green Pond has been able to do offensively. Can't establish the run. That play is the only passing play that's really been successful for them at all.
Two receivers to either side. Low snap. DeFranco has to pick it out of the dirt. He runs around to the right side, has some room, and gets the first down. They're going to call a late hit on Jacoby.
He dove out of bounds at the feet of DeFranco and did get a piece of his lower feet, but didn't tackle him.
I think the reason is more because he dove out of bounds at a place where it can be a dangerous thing for a quarterback. And you know, they're going to protect quarterbacks no matter what. They do it at every level. When they make millions and millions of dollars, they do it a lot more than they do at the high school level, but still.
It was right in front of the Green Pond bench, and they're down 28-0. Yeah, they're going to make that call for them.
Takes it all the way down to the 38-yard line. Slide to both sides. Franco in the shotgun. First and 10. It's going to be DeFranco keeping it himself, going left side. Has some room, 30, and he'll be tackled down inside the 30, and a first down for a gain of 12 yards to the 26.
And it's surprising they haven't used that read option, that inside read where he has the option of giving it to Daniel going one way or keeping it the other way, because that forces the two linebackers to stay home, and they pick up a first.
Slide both sides again. DeFranco will pass. Quick out. And that is caught to Jesus, and he breaks a tackle or two, but finally gets tackled at the 22-yard line for a gain of four.
Yeah, he kept breaking tackles, but he kept going backwards as he was breaking them. So the Raiders are quick to the ball. Once that first defender gets there, he knows he's going to have help. No one stops pursuit until the whistle on all 11 players out there on the field for Middletown. That's just how this defense has been all season.
Three receivers to the right. Two to the left. Now Daniel goes in motion, and he'll get the give on the jet sweep, you can call. He's going to turn the corner, and Hunter Landis is going to have to try to run him down from the backside. Can't do so. He bounces off and goes down the sideline into the end zone for a touchdown. 22-yard touchdown run for Mitch Daniel, and the Crusaders are on the board.
And I thought Middletown was going to make that tackle about three different times. LaRon Woody was chasing backside and just couldn't catch up to him. Landis had a hold of him, bounced off, and then Kyle Truesdale had the last chance at him and slipped out of his grasp. Daniel gets in the end zone for a much-needed touchdown for Notre Dame Green Pond.
Well, one thing we have seen this season is when Middletown gives up that one touchdown, the wrath is then poured out afterwards.
Garrido in for the PAT. It is up. It is good. We'll take timeout. 3:35 left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 28, Notre Dame Green Pond 7. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The Middletown Home presents its annual Breakfast with Santa. Sunday, December 11th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., the public is invited to the Middletown Home for a free breakfast and free photos with Santa Claus. For more information, you can call 944-3351 or check out middletownhome.org. That's Breakfast with Santa at the Middletown Home, Sunday, December the 11th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m.
Crusaders get on the board here with 3:35 left to play in quarter number two. It's 28-7 Middletown with the lead. That drive for Notre Dame was five plays, 66 yards, minute 42 seconds. The touchdown run was a 22-yarder by Mitch Daniel. And the quarterback had a couple scrambles, and they had that late hit over on the sideline to give him 15 of the yards. Crusaders to boot it away. It will go to Fox back at the 12-yard line. They will run it straight up the middle. Now cuts 30, 35, cuts back, and we've got a flag thrown in from about 25 yards away as Fox is stopped at the 41-yard line. We'll see what the flag business is. Likely going to back Middletown up.
How often have we seen this season, Steve, as I mentioned going into the break, this year when Middletown has been dominating a team and then the opposing team gets that one score? It's almost like, all right, we didn't like that. We're going to turn it up another notch that we didn't even know they had yet.
Guys, updated score from the other side. They're already starting the third quarter between Martinsburg Central and Beaver Falls, and that game is still 7-0 Martinsburg Central. And the Beaver Falls radio announcers are whining about the fact that Middletown's playing here at Hershey this week. Just figured I'd bring that up as well.
Yeah.
First down and 10 for Middletown. Slot left. At their own 20. Handoff goes to Thompson. He is swarmed under in the backfield. Maybe the Crusaders got a little momentum going here.
If you're Middletown, the real goal here is to make sure you get into the locker room with a three-score advantage, because you get the ball to start the second half. You can make some little adjustments as well. Call a couple plays that you think are going to work pretty well.
Three receivers to the left. Snavely in the shotgun with Thompson beside him. Leach comes in motion to the right. Second down and 11. And off goes to Thompson. Tries to turn the corner, but he will get hit and drop for a gain of 5 out to the 24-yard line, where it will be third down and 6.
I want to get back to the Beaver Falls announcers crying and snotting about us playing in Hershey, because last week that game against Scranton Prep could have been played at Hershey on Saturday afternoon. They wanted it down by Bethlehem. PIAA put it down there. But wouldn't you have thought that, you know, if they had some confidence, they wanted to get to the final game, that they would want to get here in Hershey maybe one earlier time to play? Doesn't matter, Middletown. It's still a 100-yard field out there. It's the same distance, the same side distance. It's artificial turf. And you'd think you'd want to maybe get your team comfortable if you could win that game.
If you're whining about somebody playing on an artificial turf football field before you do, when most of the state at this point, at this stage in the season, is playing on artificial turf fields, the advantage that Middletown has for being here is singular. That has nothing to do with the field. It's the fact that so many people in the crowd can get here. Right. That is the advantage.
Third down and 6. There was a timeout by Notre Dame Green Pond there. Snavely in the shotgun, two receivers left. Play fake. Snavely looking to throw. He's looking deep down the middle, looking for Noon, but it's overthrown and incomplete. And now Middletown will have to punt the football away here with 2:35 left to play in the half.
He knew he had to get rid of the football. He felt that pressure coming in. He loves that deep pass, that deep post right down, straight down the middle where he's standing in the pocket. But unfortunately, he was getting hit, pass a little off, and Noon couldn't get to it.
And he has not been able to connect on any of those deep balls so far in this game. And now Middletown, it's going to be the defense that's going to be challenged here on a two-minute drill late in this first half.
Leach back to punt. Simpson and Daniel both back to receive for the Crusaders. There's the snap, and the kick will be done on the run. Bounces up. Simpson gets it at the 40-yard line. A flag is thrown. I was waiting for it to be thrown, and they finally got it out. It was like he was having trouble reaching for it. Simpson's tackled at the 45-yard line. His comeback.
Ethan Valkovic, the defensive back wide receiver, absolutely clear block in the back right in front of the back judge. That's never going to get away with that one.
It's always amazing to me that when you're in that open field like that, that players, even in the NFL, think they can get away with it.
They want to make a play, and they're not touching the ball. So how can I make a play? Let me show. I'm going to make this big block. Well, if the guy's numbers are at you, he can't make the block, and he just made that mistake and cost his team what was a really good return, and now the ball moves back, and it's going to hamper Notre Dame Green Pond in terms of their play calling a little bit more because they have to be a little bit more efficient with what they do. I think they had the ball up close. I think they go short passing game, try to pick their way down the field. I think they've got to think about taking a couple shots here. There's still time, 2:24 left to go, but still, they may have to be a little bit more judicious with it.
Three right, two left. DeFranco in trouble, and he is going to be thrown down. That is Hunter Landis coming in unblocked from the linebacker position, a loss of five.
Waited just that extra second or two for the line to open up, and then he shot right up the middle.
We talked pregame about how important it was for the front four to get pressure. They have done that, and what it's also done is it's forced them to pick up those guys immediately, and it's opened up opportunities for Landis when he sees it on the delayed blitz.
Two to either side. DeFranco shotgun has pressure. He's going to throw deep, and it is going to be incomplete. McCoy was running under it, as well as the intended receiver, DeJesus. They basically met at the ball, and it was incomplete.
And McCoy looked like he could have been the intended receiver because he had a tremendous beat on that ball. They had two receivers to the left-hand side. They crossed over, and they tried to see what Middletown would do coverage-wise. McCoy stayed with his man. It was man-to-man coverage on the near side, and McCoy, breaking very well on the ball, got there before DeJesus.
And this is how DeFranco throws the ball. He gets back there. He slings it out where he knows his receivers can make it to that point. But, you know, most times they're faster than the defensive backs they've seen all season. They're not faster than the Middletown offensive backs.
And the other thing is it's a timeout here for Notre Dame Green Pond, which is weird here with a minute 47 left to go. It's a third down and long, and they're going to talk about it. If they would pick it up, that's one less one that they have. Clock wasn't running anyways. They want to make sure they have the right play. But DeFranco, on watching him in pregame warmups, it's a sophomore. He's got time to develop a little bit more arm strength. Does not have what you'd call a rifle arm. He's a guy who on a deep ball has to put it in a spot and allow his guys to run onto it. And that was on display there. When that ball was sort of lofted out there, sort of hung there for a little while and allowed McCoy to really make a beat on that ball and get there first.
By the way, we wanted to mention that we talked about the injuries in the pregame show. One guy who's been missing the last several weeks, Ryan Hughes, is dressed for this game. The wide receiver, will he see any action? Maybe not. But at least he's back out there and maybe warmed up for next week.
They're down and 15 to DeFranco. Shotgun. He'll look to throw on the run. Does so. It's Callius and it's caught, but not enough for the first down. It's going to be a fourth down and 7. Here, and they will have to punt it away.
The Raiders will love the ball back.
And the great thing about that, too, guys, is they run a play that goes to the sideline, and Middletown's able to push him out of bounds, stop the clock, and save their own timeouts for the end of this half.
1:40 left to play in the half. 28-7, Middletown with the lead. Notre Dame Green Pond to punt it away. Tyer Mills back inside the 30-yard line. Constantino takes the snap. He will just straight punt it, and he's kicking it away from Mills, and it's going to take a little bit of a Middletown hop and goes out of bounds at the 42-yard line of Middletown.
Coming up at halftime, Bull Schwartz from the 75 Middletown football team. Looking forward to chatting with him. We'll have the out-of-town scoreboard and the halftime stats.
And the scoreboard that's going on this one, anybody winning tonight going to play next weekend for a state championship. So it's a huge week for everyone across the state.
First down and 10 for the Blue Raiders at their own 42-yard line. Two receivers left, one to the right. Snavely takes a snap. He's got pressure. It's going to be a screen, and it's going to be incomplete as they were looking to get it to Fox, and he almost knocked it straight up in the air with two defenders around him.
The problem with that play was there was one guy who got through defensively, but the guys you wanted to also have get through got stuck. So you had the nose guard standing right over the center in D. Berendinas. And because he didn't go anywhere, even if Fox catches that ball, he gets dropped immediately. If he doesn't catch it like he did, it was almost picked.
Slot both sides, second down and 10. Snavely back to pass, has time this time. We'll throw deep down the middle. It is going to be incomplete. And they are going to throw the flag. Oh, they're looking to get it to Lopez on the deep slant. And it's going to be 15 yards against the Crusaders.
Simpson was all over him. That ball was coming in perfectly thrown. He was lining up for it, and he was getting yanked and grabbed as he was pulling it in.
It actually wasn't perfectly thrown. It was late, and that's why when that ball was a little bit behind Lopez, he had to slow down, and Simpson came in and hit him from the backside on that play.
But he was still using his arm.
Oh, yeah,
he was. You could still see him reaching in and grabbing at him.
He was beaten on the play. He was trying to recover, and the fact that that ball was underthrown actually allowed it a very easy call for the officials on the interference.
That stops the clock with a minute 20 here in the half.
Moves it down to the 43-yard line.
Even if they can get into some field goal range, but again, working against a crosswind here at Hershey Park Stadium.
First down and 10 for Middletown at the 43-yard line of Notre Dame. Snavely back to pass, will throw, caught, Leitz, 25-yard line, spun down at the 17-yard line by DeJesus. So Middletown first and 10 at the 17.
And look at how disciplined. They're running up to the line. Coach Myers barking out the signals as Snavely comes over close to him. They know what they want to run and not use up much clock.
First down and 10 at the 17-yard line. Here's the snap. Snavely, and it's going to be a motion against Middletown, and I think Plummer left a step early.
I don't think it was just Plummer. I thought the snap was a little bit slow.
Back just a little bit slow, but still clock at 106.
You do not have to put the running game away either here, guys, because you still have a lot of time with a minute six,
and you can catch
this team off guard like that.
Thompson, it is going to be a pitch. Left side, and he is going to get dragged down
horse collar
by the collar, and they're not going to call.
That's a flag.
Yeah, he got horse collared on the far side. One grab is the only grab that they had a chance at getting him, and got him right behind the neck.
Jack Nesbitt, the defensive end, a senior 190-pounder, got out there quick.
It's going to be a hold against Middletown.
And the crowd can't believe it.
But that would be the reason they didn't throw it on the horse collar, because they had already seen a different penalty on the play, and that sort of took the eyes away from what actually happened at the end of the play. I don't see how everyone missed the horse collar.
Myers wants an explanation right now.
He needs more than an explanation.
Yeah.
He's out there a little bit close to the field, and he's begging and demanding. He's like, guys, come on. How can y'all miss that?
That was on the far side, and everyone on this side saw it.
First down and 29 it will be for Middletown at the 36-yard line. As now they'll put the play clock in motion. Time winding under 50 seconds. Snavely takes the snap, rolls left, now stops, steps up in the pocket, and he's just going to have to run, and he'll get hit after a gain of a couple yards, give him three to the 33-yard line. Timeout by Middletown. We'll take timeout as well. 41 seconds left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 28, Notre Dame Green Pond 7. Back after this. This is on the Fager Finkenbeiner Field Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
The number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown. Super 91.
Raiders lead 28-7 with 41 seconds left to play in the first half.
And Coach Brett Myers of Middletown, after stopping out there with his team to talk to them about what they're going to do here on this long yardage play, made sure he found the guy with the white hat and talked his ear off a little bit, too, to make sure he was able to voice his displeasure about the missed horse collar tackle.
Second down and 27 from the 34. Snavely has a free blitzer coming, gets a pass off. It's caught by Thompson. 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Snavely was going to get pummeled in the backfield, and he just floated it up there for Thompson, who makes the catch and down the sideline for a Raider touchdown. It's 34-7.
And that is gutsy stuff from Chase Stavely, because he knew he was going to take a huge shot on that play. Mikey DiGaetano had a tremendous beat on him, but he knew where his receiver was. He knew where Thompson was releasing, knew he was open, just had to wait just a little bit longer to make sure everybody else was someplace else, lofts it out there. Great courage from Snavely. Another touchdown for him.
Brady in for the extra point. High snap. Put down by Snavely very nicely. And the extra point is up and good. We'll just keep it here with 32 seconds left to play in the first half. 35-7 Middletown.
Well, if you guys saw the Fox 43, did a nice little feature on our buddy Charlie Myers over here at Hershey Rehab. Last few weeks, he's been going out in the parking lot. They take him out of the rehab center because they have literally no radio frequencies coming in there. I went over and tried it myself, and you can't pick anything up inside. He's been sitting out there with his son-in-law out in the parking lot and just sitting in the car listening to games every week. And so we say hi to him. Also, Dan Erschberger over there as well. He suffered a stroke a few weeks back, and our best well wishes go to Dan. You always see Dan and Darlene at all the home games. And hopefully Dan will improve. Of course, big news this last week was, the town icon, Huff, passing away. So we know that he's really close friends with our sponsor, Joe Daly, and Daly's Golf and JD's Junction. So our condolences go out to him.
Raiders to kick off. It's going to be Brady booting in a high end over ender. It's going to be taken at the 23-yard line by Simpson, and he heading up the sideline, and he is going to be taken out of bounds just shy of the 35-yard line.
I know we have so many folks out there who have been battling the bad colds and the bronchitis, who haven't been able to get out to the games, and we're glad you're along. And hopefully all of our streams, we doubled our streamed up this week for you folks listening online. So we certainly are appreciative of your patience.
We also want to send our best wishes out for recovery for both Scott Schaefer and for Joey Keating. Obviously, a lot of people in town know what happened. They accident right after the game once they had gotten home last week. So they continue to recuperate, and our thoughts and prayers are with those families and the two of them as they continue to recover.
First and 10 at the 33-yard line, pass to Daniel. And it's going to be good for about 6 yards. They keep him in bounds, or they let him get out of bounds. Yeah.
And for folks who weren't aware of that story, two Middletown grads, one goes to Kutztown, one goes to Penn State, left that game last week over in Bethlehem, came back to Middletown, and involved in a fiery crash on Stoner Drive in Lower Sweater Township.
No snap. DeFranco picks it up on second down and four, headed to the sideline. He's going to be pushed out of bounds, maybe for a loss of a yard back to the 42.
If you're Middletown at this point, just got to be smart here, because you've got an opportunity, if you don't give up anything here in the last 15.3 seconds, to get the ball to start the second half. And if you can do what you've done so many times in this situation this year and stop right down the field and get a touchdown, you put this one away. So important just to be very smart.
Slide to both sides. Daniel goes in motion, so now actually four receivers that way. DeFranco with the pass. They were looking to get the slip screen. They get it to Simpson. Gets a block. Cross midfield. 40. And he'll slip the tackle of Mills. Goes down the sideline. 30. 20. And he's going to be run out of bounds by McCoy. Down at the 10-yard line with 2 seconds left.
They're both hurt cramping down up. There. Cramping up is McCoy. But I'm not sure if that's the case with Simpson.
Yeah, I think Simpson may be hurt, but McCoy's definitely cramping.
The gain of 58 yards.
He might be cramping, too. I got the wind knocked out of him. He's holding his abdomen.
He got thrown down at the end of that play over top, so I think that's definitely what happened to him. Looks like a cramp for McCoy. Looks like he's going to be okay. But now 2.1 seconds left to go. You got to go for it here, because the field goal means nothing to you. They do have a good kicker, but the field goal means nothing. But they have the kicker out there.
Wow.
So Tucker Amy, who is 6 for 10 with a long of 37 yards this year, will try to get the cosmetic three.
26 on the left hash mark, and Brett Myers calls a timeout. I guess he's going to ice him here.
He's going to ice him, then they're going to get the block, and they're going to run it back with no time remaining.
But I wouldn't have called the timeout there for no other reason that...
They're kicking it.
Yeah. You want to kick it and take three instead of go for seven? Go be my guest. That does nothing for you in this situation. But he wants to make sure everybody's on the right page, that nobody does anything that they shouldn't be doing out there because... Yeah, you can go for the block. You can try to get up high, but I would love to have them go for three here. Go ahead and kick that field goal. That ain't going to mean anything to you in the second half. I think you really need that momentum boost and trying to – the momentum of scoring a touchdown at the end of the half might actually carry over for them. What's not going to carry over is basically what looks like at this point a meaningless field goal that gets you to within 25 points at halftime.
Now, they do have Constantino on that right outside. You don't know if they'll try to run a fake, but I doubt it.
26, there's the snap. Amy will approach, and it is scuffed. No good, and that's going to take us to halftime. We'll take timeout. Our score at the half, it is Middletown 35, Notre Dame Green Pond 7. Stay tuned for the halftime show coming up here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We're DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up homestyle meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
We're at halftime here at Hershey Park Stadium in the AAA Eastern Championship State Semifinal. John Wilsbach with you at halftime, 35-7. Middletown leading Notre Dame Green Pond here at the half. Always great to welcome our various guests up here at halftime. And this time, we bring back a legend, Bull Swartz.
Hey, John.
From the 75 team, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's
been a few years since we've had you on the broadcast.
Actually, the last time I had the pleasure of being with you was Coach Meyer's first game.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. And
it's been a few years.
We were talking about where the program was going, and I had no idea that we would be here today, but I'm very happy that we are.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this team, and I know you've got to see them this season, you know, a few times, and you're watching the first half of this game. When you compare this team and what you're seeing compared to when you played, is the game that much different?
The game is somewhat different, but it's still football. You know, you're still blocking and tackling, throwing and running and hitting people. So, you know, while some of the rules have changed, you can't hit guys like you did when we played.
Yeah.
You can't block the same. You know, you can use your hands now. We couldn't use our hands. And there's more area blocking on offense than there used to be. Everybody had an assignment based on where the opponent was lined up. But beyond those kinds of things, it's still football, and it looks a whole lot like what we used to play.
Well, let's go back to the years that you played for Middletown, and 75 team was unbeaten. Tell us a little bit about what you remember from that year and how great it was.
Well, we were a group of 36 guys playing for Dave Yon in what was his last season. We didn't know it was his last season. I don't know if he did, but he didn't tell anybody. And we were picked to be fifth or sixth in the Capillary Conference. We went up to Bishop McDevitt to play. They had just opened up their field again. They had been playing here at the stadium for several years to open the season. Very early in that game, we were fortunate enough to block a punt. My friend Jeff Durr, God rest his soul, recovered it in the end zone. We took a lead. We won that game, and we won the next nine and went 10-0. And that was a team that refused to lose, and a lot of tough guys. And, you know, to this day, I love them. And if I was in a fight, I'd want those 35 guys around me. So
who was in the backfield for that season?
That Tony DeFrancisco and Mike Fiotti were our quarterbacks for that season. Harrison Rodkey, Jeff Durr, and Bobby O'Donnell were the three running backs. Harrison was more of a fullback, and that was the first year and only year that Coach Yon ran the wing T. And so Jeff and Bobby were either a wing back or a halfback in the backfield, and it was very successful for us. We were a smaller team. I was the biggest guy on the team, and we had small backs who were quick and tough, and they could slice through there. We had a good line, Larry Galgosi, Red Etter, Mike Marakovich, Carl Fricchione, Joe Kechnowski, and I was a tight end, and we were able to score just enough to win, and we didn't let the other team score very much. So I think we had four or five shutouts, and only twice did teams score more than one touchdown against us. So that was the key to that team. It was nothing like this team, which just has so many explosive weapons and so many big plays. It's really fun to watch these guys.
I don't want to make you feel old. I was a kid watching you. I was 10 years old at the time, and I remember some of the games. But, you know, I just remember how dominant the team just seemed to be game in and game out. Did you play both sides, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I only came out on kickoff return. And we had, when you have 36 guys, we had a lot of guys playing a lot of plays. Harrison Rodkey didn't come out a lot. Mike Marakovich, Carl Fricchione, they didn't come out a lot. Jeff Durr played a lot of football. And we were happy to... Actually, I didn't want to come off on kickoff return, but I, you know, if the coach wanted to get some information to me, that was an opportunity to do it. The weird thing is, though, when you are on that kind of a team and you're not, and the only time you get a rest is a kickoff return, some of those games they only kicked off once. Mm. You know, if we shut them out, it's one kickoff return, and I'm in for the rest of the game. And I loved it. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Did you get many touchdowns? How much did they pass to you, or were you mostly out there for blocking?
Well, I was the leading receiver on a team that year with 19 catches. So we did not throw much, and it was mostly play action. And unlike the team of a couple seasons before, when my brothers played with Donnie Shope, they threw the ball all the time. My brother Mike was the leading receiver on that team, and I think he had 90 catches. And, you know, just several years later, the leading receiver has 19 catches and is a tight end. And frankly, you know, I was a glorified tackle, but I enjoyed those every one of those 19 catches, I can tell you that.
Did you like offense or defense better?
I liked defense, always liked defense better. You know, we could hit people in different ways then, and I took to that, as did just about everybody on that team. And, you know, I like knocking people down. And on offense, it was a little more controlled. And you had your assignments, and I liked offense a lot, and I liked blocking. I could have been happy as a tackle, but when they put me out on the end and said, we're going to throw you the ball once in a while, I thought I was in heaven.
We're talking in our final moments with Bull Schwartz here at halftime. Who gave you the name Bull?
My brother Saul, and you would think that it would be because I was especially tough. I liked people to think that, and maybe I shouldn't say this. Although maybe no one's listening to me, because I think the whole town is in the stands tonight. So
they
maybe,
are, yeah.
Maybe, but actually, I was a little kid, and they were all older than me, and they needed me to even up the sides. And I was in a football game, and they were roughing me up, and I started to cry. And they said, "You got to be tough. You got to be tough like a bull." And you know, happily, that has stuck. I mean, I can think of a lot of worse nicknames to have.
of course,
that's one that I still have, and I still do not mind being called Bull. So,
well, let me ask you this: Dave Yon certainly big part of your life, and you've always all had so many experiences with him and talked about him. What can you say about him? Here we are many years after he has passed away, and it just seems like yesterday he was out there on the gridiron.
Nobody worked harder than that man. Nobody was more dedicated to his team. And I'll tell you, there were times when guys on our team couldn't stand him because he's working us so hard. But to a man, every one of them loved him. And I'll tell you a little story about him. It's kind of a personal note. When I first went to law school at Pitt, I was married originally to my college sweetheart. She died 7.5 months after I went to law school. And I came home and I withdrew from law school. I was desolate. I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. I was as low as I imagined I could be. And one day, I think my parents were worried about me. There was a knock on the door. And I heard a familiar voice out there, and it was Dave Young. He was the first guy outside of my family to come see me. And he started talking to me about what I was going to do next. And of all the many things, many good experiences I had with him, he was my coach in the Big 33. And we beat that Harry Chapman game or that Cumberland Valley game where we won on a last-second field goal that missed by hitting the crossbar and came back. We had so many of those great moments. But the thing that sticks with me the most was even years later when I wasn't playing for him and he wasn't coaching anymore, he still cared about me. Uh-huh. And he came to see me, and I always appreciated that. And that told me a lot about the kind of man that he was. And I love him and miss him to this day.
Oh, we love the stories and the reflection and hearing about that 75-year. Thanks so much for stopping by and sharing them with all the listeners out there on the Internet and on WMSS.
It's my pleasure, John. And I'll stay here as long as you want because it's nice and toasty up here, and it is not down in the bleachers, I'll tell you that.
Paul Swartz, everyone, joining us here at halftime. Middletown leading 35-7. Thanks again, Paul. And we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, in some upcoming broadcast in the future of Middletown football.
Thank you, John. Go Raiders.
Thank you. All right. 35-7. Back with your halftime stats here on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363 or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
Welcome back. We're at Hershey Park Stadium. Steve Leedy, Brian Kaiser, John Wilsbach here at halftime, where Middletown leads Notre Dame Green Pond 35-7. Let's take a look at the halftime statistics in this one. For Notre Dame, Green Pond leading rusher is the quarterback, Cole DeFranco. He has 8 carries for 39 yards. Mitch Daniel, 4 for 28. Receiving, Jalen Simpson, 1 for 59. Austin Collius has 3 catches for 22 yards. Timmy Constantino, 1 for 25. Isaiah DeJesus, 1-for-4. John Moran, 1-for-4. Danny, 1-for-6. Cole DeFranco, 8-for-15 for 120 yards in the first half. Team totals for Notre Dame Green Pond, 13 carries, 59 yards, 120 through the air, 3 sacks for a loss of 15, 164 yards of total offense for the Crusaders. For Middletown, leading the way is Jalen Thompson, the all-time leading rusher at Middletown High School. 13 carries, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brady Fox, 84 yards on 12 carries and a touchdown. Snavely has a scramble for 3. Tyree Mills has a lateral run for 5. Trey Leach caught 2 passes, 81 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Thompson caught 1 pass, 33 yards and a touchdown. Chase Snavely just 3-for-9, but for 114 yards and 2 scores in half number 1. Team totals for Middletown on the ground, 27 for 201 yards, 114 yards through the air, 335 yards of total offense for the Raiders. Scoring recap, Raiders with the first 4 touchdowns of the game. Jalen Thompson, a 3-yard run. Trey Leach, a 55-yard reception from Snavely. 2 extra points from Brady, made it 14-0 after 1. Then in the second quarter, it was Thompson on a 6-yard run. Then Fox with a 32-yard run. Both extra points were good. It was 28-0. Then Notre Dame Green Pond got on the board. Mitch Daniel, a 22-yard run. Doritos extra point made it 28-7 with 3:35 to go in the half. But Middletown got the ball back, and they marched it down. And Jalen Thompson, a 33-yard reception from Snavely. Extra point made it 35-7. And then Notre Dame Green Pond got it down to the 9-yard line with 2 seconds left to try to field goal. And it wasn't pretty.
No, and it wasn't a right call either.
No.
You're down by 28 points. Kicking a field goal, that basically means, and this, I think this is part of the mindset, but Middletown gets the ball to start the second half. So you kick the field goal there. If you make the field goal, that means that Middletown can't come down the field in the second half, score a touchdown, and put you down by the mercy rule. I think that's what the thought process was. If that's what your thought process was, you're already beat. So it's a 28-point lead for Middletown at halftime. This team, the thing that just wows me is they don't play a poor game. They are – every team has that game where, hey, here it just wasn't our night. And you hope that you catch the right team at that time that can't take advantage of it. I don't remember a game where Middletown's had a poor game.
Elmira.
That's the closest thing to it. I mean, they didn't play great in that game. They made a lot of mistakes in that game. Outside of that, I mean, how many teams can go through a season and play this many games at a high level? And after last week, they played as well as they did against Scranton Prep. They come in this week, you're thinking, well, they got to take a step down after that. They were just so good last week after that first quarter. And I think they've upped the ante again this week against the Crusaders. So Middletown right now looking like they're well on their way to the state championship game next weekend. Who will their opponent be if they can maintain this 28-point lead? Well, right now, Beaver Falls, after trailing 7-0 at halftime, it is a 14-7 lead for the Tigers. Now they've come from behind in the second half, as they have scored 2 touchdowns, 11 minutes left in the game, but Central Martinsburg is driving as we speak. So those two teams, very close game is what was expected coming in. They have not disappointed. Let's go to Single A, because a lot of our listeners also have ties to Steele High. The Rollers did not get mercy rolled in the first half, but they are down 34-6 at the half at the hands of two-time defending state champion Bishop Guilfoyle. Clareton has an 18-0 lead on Farrell as they go to the second half in that game. So the two usual suspects in Single A. Double A, Southern Columbia up 24-7 on Ligonier Valley at half. They will next play against Steele Valley, who already is up 35-0 on Wilmington. And then the Quad A situation, Berks Catholic, the District 3 team, down 21-7 to a unbelievably talented Erie Cathedral Prep team at the half. Imhotep Charter and Bethlehem Catholic in a great game, and where Imhotep right now is up 18-13. And the other game in 5A, Archbishop Wood up 31-0 on Academy Park. All the other games are tomorrow.
We want to remind everyone, check out our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. And you can check out the highlights from our Dan Magaro down on the sideline. And, of course, we are here live right now on Facebook. If you are on Facebook, you can join us real quick. And, guys, you know, big lead here going into the second half. I would have to think that we're going to see pretty much the same in the second half out of this Middletown team.
Very simple here, guys. Middletown wants to take this ball, go down to the second half, score a touchdown, kick the extra point, and put this one to the mercy roll. You take care of business to start up the second half. That's what Middletown's going to try to do.
Steve, all season we've called these games in Middletown. Every game they come out ready to go again in the second half.
Yeah, it is a big advantage for Middletown to get the football here to start this second half. And all they need to do is score and get the extra point. And then it's mercy rule from here on in, and a date here next Saturday at 3:30.
Check us out. Look at some of the highlights. And, of course, we'll be live with those post-game interviews afterwards. So we'll get back to the action right now. And Steve has the start of the second half.
As it's going to be Notre Dame Green Pond to kick off here to start this second half. Again, it's 35-7 in favor of the Blue Raiders. Kickoff will go into the end zone. A nice low line drive kick, but it got over Fox's head, and Middletown ball at the 20.
A little surprised he's continually going. Fox must be pretty decent with the legs and the padding for him to keep him out there with such a big lead. So he must be very confident that, for the most part, that left thigh is fine.
You also want to keep your other guys fresh, too. But I agree with you. I mean, Fox, obviously, at this point, he practiced well all week. They were pleased with his movement. If they weren't pleased with him, they wouldn't be putting him out there right now anyways. And the fact that he has responded well to it means that he's going to get more time.
First down 10 for the Raiders. Snavely shotgun handoff going to go to Fox up the middle, trying to get to the left side. Finds a hole, 30, cuts back, and he's going to be dragged down at the 34-yard line, a gain of 14 for Fox.
He was a half a step away from being able to break that to the outside. I think DiGaetano was the one who ended up pulling him down by the ankles. But great blocking up the middle, and Brady Fox, another first down carry.
And off goes to Fox again on first down. He'll take it to the 37-yard line. That's a gain of 4, where it'll be second down and 6 for the Raiders.
And this is where Middletown shows how they can be a physical running team, too. A team that, with Fox, you know, you've got the speed of Thompson, very patient runner getting to the outside and the edges. Fox, he can give you a little bit more of that power between the tackles when you need it.
And both over 100 yards rushing as of this point. Second down and 6. Handoff again goes to Fox. Going to the left. Tries to get to the sideline now. Back towards the middle. And he'll be tackled short of the first down. Brett Myers is adamant about something down there on the sideline.
There's an extra shot after the play. It was a late hit. Somebody came in late for Notre Dame Green Pond. They gave him the first down, though.
So right now, Jalen Thompson, 107 yards rushing. Brady Fox, 107 yards rushing. First and 10, Middletown at their own 43-yard line. 11 minutes to play in the third quarter. Raiders lead 35-7. High snap, pulled down. Thompson in trouble, and DeJesus is going to be there standing him up in the hole for nothing.
Yeah, no gain on that play because they tried to cross up Notre Dame Green Pond. They sent the motion over to the right side and tried to bring Thompson against it, but everyone had penetrated on the play and had too much of a chance to cut him down with not enough blocking to try to go to the backside of the play.
Two receivers to the right and two in tight to the left as well. It's Navely in a shotgun here from second and 10 at their own 43. Lopez will get the give in the backfield, goes deep. We'll try to get to the edge. A flag is thrown, and Lopez will get a couple yards, but this is probably going to be a bigger loss for Middletown.
Yeah, we're going to get a holding call, probably against Trey Leach. He was the guy trying to set the edge.
We want to remind those of you listening on the Internet that we have two separate streams for this game, and if you are getting the constant buffering and the signal cutting out and back on and out and on, you may want to try the alternate stream. So if you are on the main stream, go ahead and use the alternate stream. We're able to gauge the traffic right now. Last week, of course, we were inundated and just swamped with heavy traffic. Tonight, we've separated things a little bit. Right now, we're seeing a lower number on the alternate stream, so that alternate stream may give you a better signal if you are getting a lot of buffering.
Second down and 23. Play fake. It's going to be Snavely looking deep down the middle, looking for Leach. It is going to be picked off. It is intercepted by Collius down at the 40-yard line. And that ball might have got hung up by the wind a little bit.
It got hung up, but it was a late throw. He also threw it across the body. But what is it? It's basically a punt there. You had that penalty, made it second down and long. Would have been really difficult anyways. Actually, it was probably a better punt than what Middletown's been kicking as punt so far. So we saw the same thing last week on a deep ball. It was early in the game, the first drive for Middletown, where the interception is one that doesn't look like it directly hurts you because of the type of pass it is, and I think this is the same.
Three to the left, one to the right for DeFranco here for Notre Dame Green Pine at their own 38-yard line. Quick pass out to the side, and it's going to be caught by Goffredo. And
They call it incomplete.
It doesn't really matter. It's right at the line of scrimmage. So incomplete, second down.
We want you to check out our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1 FM. Make sure you like us, too, and enjoy the highlights we have there for you. And make sure you're with us live on the post-game show.
It feels so dirty when you just say, please like us. It's just wrong. You're begging.
Three receivers left, one to the right. DeFranco back in the pocket. He is in trouble. They got him by the ankle, and he's going to go down. That is Graham getting him by the ankle and not letting go.
And Bobby Graham coming back from that foot injury. We knew he was going to dress, see some limited time. He wants a piece of the pie, too.
And the rush on the play from Middletown was very consistent from all sides, as that was supposed to be a quarterback draw, at least I think it was, because that's what it appeared like DeFranco wanted to do and step up, but every place he wanted to go was cut off, and Graham got him.
14, three receivers to the left side. It's going to be a flare out into the backfield. That is Daniel, and he's in trouble. Breaks a tackle, though, but gets to the 40, 41, 42 before he stopped. And it's going to be a fourth down and a punt situation here for Notre Dame Green Pond.
I'll tell you, with the trips on that far side, those three receivers, the inside man, I thought DeFranco missed a golden opportunity. The Raiders were a little slow at getting up close on him and really only had two covering the three on that far side. And I think just that quick little slant, and the Raiders could have been in trouble on a deep one there in the middle.
Constantino back to punt. Here on fourth down and six, Mills back to receive. There's the snap. The kick is away. Mills will have a chance at it. No, he won't. It's going to be over to the near side of the field where it will take a bounce, and Notre Dame Green Pond will down it at the 29-yard line.
And that is punt number seven of the night now for Notre Dame Green Pond. They have five first downs. That's been a tremendous job by this Middletown defense. The spread formation is there to give your offense rhythm. They've never been able to establish a running game. The quarterback has not been able to get his short passing game going. Outside of the slip screen, they've done virtually nothing on the offensive side of the ball.
Slot left in tight for the Raiders. Snavely will pitch it to Thompson going left side. He will be tackled by DeJesus out of bounds. And no gain on the play. The Middletown faithful here want a late shot, but not going to get it.
DeJesus wasn't really sure where he was. He was just basically finishing the tackle and was right over by the boundary. That one, I think, was a good no call. And if you're Middletown right now, just keep your head. You're up 28 points right now. Keep working clock. You're not far away from getting one step away from the goal that this team set at the beginning of the season.
Second down and nine. Mills goes way wide to the right side of the formation. It's a double wing. Fox is the running back, safely under center. Thompson in motion, gets the give. Jet sweep, breaks the first tackle, gets to the corner, 30, cuts back, and down to the 35, 36-yard line. It'll be third and short.
We've talked about all season how much these two running backs complement each other, not just with the yardage they've got in each game, but just on and off the field. Brady Fox, the junior, Jalen Thompson, the senior, how much they've worked with each other, how much Thompson has taught Fox from what he has said. And we talked, of course, about the Milton Hershey game when Thompson became the all-time leading rusher in Middletown history. We interviewed him, did a little photo op out on the field as he came off. His team was waiting for him underneath the bleachers, and the first one coming down the steps to greet him was Brady Fox. These two guys have been magnificent on and off the field together.
They're down in three, shotgun for Snavely. Here's the handoff. That is going to go to Fox, and he fights forward and gets the first down. Sorry, that is Thompson that will get the first down to the 42-yard line. And we've got a late scuffle. And I think this is going to be against Notre Dame Green Pond.
It was the nose tackle, which, by the way, he was pushed a good 10 yards down the field. So Matt DeBarandinas is the guy who goes off the field.
I can feel he's going to be chucked in this one.
Very easily, because there was some fisticuffs being thrown at the bottom of that pile.
So we got the personal foul against Green Pond. Does he show the ejection signal?
He did not.
No. No.
He did not.
But that was on, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Staker who was the one who had moved him, was down. He took him down, threw him down, landed on him, and was still attacking him essentially on top before being yanked off.
I saw the television replay of it. There was a push by the Middletown offensive lineman. I don't think it was Staker. And then he grabbed him at the end.
And off to Thompson, going left side, and he is going to find the sideline and be tackled by Daniel all the way down to the 25-yard line. That's a gain of 17 yards and another Middletown first down.
And very important for Middletown to keep playing and keeping their head at this point, because their play on the field is what's going to be the deciding factor in this one. You don't want your head to get out there. You don't want to get over-emotional here. Keep very focused at this point. Jalen Thompson, great run again. Hard tackle from Daniel, but legal.
And a Camp Hill game, very emotional. Some late hits in that contest. Camp Hill knocking them out of bounds and some things as we get a timeout and a flag on the near side. And what's this going to be?
Should be an illegal substitution.
But we've just seen the Raiders, when they've come off of something like that in the timeout for Green Pond, just kind of fuel their fire a little bit.
Brett Myers is angry about...
They caught him with 12 guys on the field.
Yeah, and they let him get away with calling a timeout, and they pick up the flag.
12 guys in the huddle. They get the guy off now, but they call timeout with 12 guys in the huddle. They broke the huddle. That should have been 5.
And going into this game, a lot of folks don't realize that Myers has kind of some past.
He does.
A little bit with the Notre Dame Green Pond coach.
Jill Stambaugh used to coach at Pius X. And when Coach Myers was at Pottstown, the two of them did battle a couple of times. I remember correctly the conversation with Coach Myers. He's 1-1. The first time they beat down Pius. The second time, Pius had a really good team and ended up beating them the second time. But it's not the nicest relationship, put it that way.
And off goes to Thompson on first down. Cuts back 20-yard line, still on his feet, spinning around 15 and tackled at the 12. That's another 13 yards for Thompson. He's over a buck 50.
And don't think for a second either. And I know a lot of our fans have been reading things this week. They've been looking at the different newspaper articles that have been out. There's a different tone between the two teams. Middletown, you know what the tone is of this team. Mm-hmm. It's always team
all business.
First.
Yep.
All business. On the other side, the clippings of the other team saying, there's some things we think we can exploit against this team. And I think touchdown whenever I see single coverage. Those things have been sent around to every single one of the players this week.
First and 10 at the 12-yard line. Handoff goes to Thompson, going to the left side, and he's going to be stood up and tackled for no gain on the play. It'll be second down as the clock continues to count here under 5:40 left to play in Middletown, leading 35-7.
And thanks again to Bull Schwartz for joining us at halftime. So great to hear the stories from the 75 team that was unbeaten. You know, I never got the chance to talk to him about what would that 75 team have done had there been playoffs back then. They didn't have playoffs. But he said back then they just relied on the state sailor system and the sailor ratings, and they felt happy about that back then. This was the other night when I was talking to him. But yeah, how far would that team have gone?
Second down and 11 from the 13 of Notre Dame Green Pond. Snavely shotgun, two receivers to the right side. Thompson in the backfield. There's a snap. Snavely rolling, throwing on the run, looking for Mills, and it's going to be incomplete.
It was tight coverage on that side, as it was Austin Callius who was in hot pursuit of Mills. But Mills had a step. Ball had to be thrown perfectly, though, to the outside. Just like a lot of the passes tonight from Chase Snavely, that ball was just a little bit too far out.
Brings up a third down and 11 for Middletown at the Crusaders' 13-yard line. Two receivers to the right side. That's Mills and Leach out there. Thompson in the backfield. Snavely in the shotgun. Lopez in motion to the left. There's a snap. Play fake. Snavely across the middle. Caught. Touchdown. Malik Noon, 13 yards, and it is 41-7.
It's the play action that freezes the linebacker, and that allows Noon a free release on the left side of the line. And when the linebacker has the play fake go directly at him, freezes him, free release for Noon. Pass right on the money from Snavely, and Middletown an extra point away from applying the mercy rule in the state semifinals.
Well, we thought that was going to happen last week. And then I don't want to jinx it. I'm not going to say anything more. Never mind.
Automatic, baby.
Automatic.
Automatic right here.
Brady in for the extra point. Snap, hold, kick, on the way.
Automatic.
Roll. Mercy.
Automatic, baby.
Yes.
We'll take timeout. 4:54 left to play in the third quarter. It is Middletown 42, Notre Dame Green Pond 7. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and are home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Mercy rule has been applied here at Hershey Park Stadium. Middletown leads Notre Dame Green Pond 42-7. And the Raiders are on their way into next Saturday's state championship game. 3:30 is the game time next Saturday here at Hershey Park Stadium. Kickoff will be fielded by Daniel at the 11-yard line. Breaks the tackle. Now headed back to the sideline. Now back to the middle again. And he's finally going to be caught at the 30-yard line.
Well, the question now becomes for Middletown, how long do you allow the starters to play at this point with this one very close to being done? There is
good
a
point.
Possibility. I think you keep them in for probably as long as Notre Dame Green Pond does not score again in the next little bit. I think you keep them in until maybe about the 7-8 minute mark, and then you start sliding people out. Guys like Brady Fox, Bobby Graham, those are guys that you want to definitely try to get them off the field, give them as much rest as you can as they're nursing previous injuries.
Three receivers to the left, one to the right. DeFranco back throw, will throw, and it's behind the receiver, Calais, who just got one hand on it and almost tipped it up to be intercepted.
Oh, he wanted to get rid of it. He was feeling the pressure immediately from that front four coming in. In fact, Bobby Graham still out there, as you mentioned, Brian. At some point, yeah, you want to get him off the field. But I think he's just eating it up right now.
He wants to play. All these guys want to play at this point. They love being out there in the field. They love working for each other, and they've been such a cohesive unit all year.
DeFranco to pass. We'll toss it, and it's caught by Simpson, and it's read well by Middletown defensively. Trey Leach making a great defensive play. No gain for Simpson.
Leach and Jacoby this season have done a great job on those short passes, right on the line, coming up quickly, and making sure there's not much advancement after that.
Tried to go with the slip screen, and Middletown in the second half has done a much better job of defending it.
Third down and 11. They actually lost a yard there. Slot to both sides. DeFranco in the shotgun. Goes back to pass. In trouble. Has to run. He will run to the 25, 30, and out of bounds at the 29, which is the line of scrimmage for no gain.
Nothing he can do.
And Mills was coming up on him fast. And Mills smartly let him run out of bounds.
And the other thing that Mills did very smartly there, too, is he allowed DeFranco to tuck the ball and run, stayed back in his coverage long enough to see that DeFranco couldn't hoist the ball down the field. They're going to go for it here on 4th and 10.
So 4th and 10 at their own 30-yard line. Three receivers left side, one to the right. DeFranco, shotgun. Takes the snap, throws, and it is going to be caught, intercepted. It's intercepted by McCoy as he outfought the receiver for that one, and a late flag, I think, is thrown in as well.
McCoy read it perfect.
Yeah.
It was right there, stepped in front, had to battle for the ball, but he had more of the possession for those 2 yards they were fighting with it, came away with it.
And that's the lack of arm strength, throwing the ball to the wide side of the field where that ball just sort of flutters up there in the air. If that ball is thrown on a rope, that's a completed pass. But the fact that ball hangs there just enough, it allows McCoy that recovery speed to get in front and make the pick. And the personal foul call on the face mask will count it off another 15 yards, and the Blue Raiders knocking on the door again.
And Jonah McCoy, a kid who this summer moved to the Middletown School District from Hempfield, just down 283, down by the Salunga area before you hit Lancaster. And what a great addition having him move into the school district this year. What a great job he has done in the secondary.
First and 10 for Middletown at the Crusaders' 22-yard line.
Oh, we know what's going on this play, don't we?
Three receivers to the left side.
Actually, four.
And off. Going to go to Fox. Cuts back. 20. Cuts back again to the middle, and he's going to fight forward inside the 15. Still going down to the 13 before he's stopped, maybe just short of the first down. It'll be second and one.
And you know, when you have those four receivers, or even three, tight on that left side, you know that the ball's going to be run there. You know they're going to block. And right there, it didn't matter. They still couldn't stop him.
I think Brian's going to disappear here because the Western game is Beaver Falls leading Martinsburg Central 14-7. Martinsburg Central has the ball with less than 2 minutes to go and no timeouts.
Huh.
So that one is going down to the wire. So we'll keep our tabs on as we have timeout on the field here. 1:48 left to play in the third quarter. Middletown leading Notre Dame Green Pond 42-7.
And we will have extended coverage next week here at Hershey Park Stadium. The pregame show, the guest, the information. You'll want to be tuned in to us. If you come to the game, bring your radio with you and listen on your Walkman. And those of you who have the TuneIn app, glad to have you along. Those of you listening on computers, PCs, iPads, you can also listen on our alternate stream at WMSSFM.com.
Second down and one here for Middletown at the 13-yard line. Snavely, shotgun. Hand off. Fox goes left. Sidesteps a man and gets to the 10-yard line. A first down. It'll be first and goal for the Blue Raiders at the 10-yard line.
Same play. Receivers to the left. Follow that side. Let them block for you. Get what you need. First and goal now. Middletown, they already have the mercy. Just put the exclamation point on it. Get some of these other guys a little playing time. And as Brian said a few moments ago, start resting some of these guys who may be a little dinged up and have them ready for next week.
First and goal at the Crusaders' 10-yard line. It'll be Fox in the backfield with Snavely. And off goes to Fox, and the Crusaders crashed on the inside that time and got Fox right at the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play.
2,000-yard runners this year. Fox over 1,000. Thompson over 1,000. And Lopez, just a freshman who filled in valiantly different times of the season, got more and more work as the season went on. We saw him make some big plays during the year on the minimum amount of times that he got the ball, and he's back next year. Now, you'll have Brady Fox back next year. You'll have Lopez back. You know, you just got to fill in the blanks on the line and your quarterback. And, again, Tyre Mills may be the one they move back to that spot.
Second down and goal from the 10-yard line. Handoff goes to Thompson, cuts back after starting left, goes to the middle, and will be tackled at the 3-yard line. So third and goal from the 3 here, as that will be likely the last play of the third quarter.
And it is Beaver Falls who will be the opponent on Saturday, 14-7. They hold off a late bid by Martinsburg Central. So it will be Beaver Falls and, assuming that Middletown holds a 35-point lead in the fourth quarter, Middletown for the state title.
We'll take timeout. Our score after three quarters, it is Middletown 42, Notre Dame Green Pond 7. Back with the fourth quarter after this here in the Fager Finger Minor Funeral Home, Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jim
Seabird's Garage, 1649 South Cameron Street, next to Dairy Queen, has been serving customers in Harrisburg, Steelton, Highspire, Middletown, and surrounding areas for many years. And they'd like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Raiders football team on a great season. They'd also like to congratulate the Middletown Blue Wave Marching Band. Seabird's Garage, fulfilling all your automotive needs, inspection and emissions, even small engine repair, lawnmowers, and snow blowers. That's Jim Seabird's Garage. Go Raiders!
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Minutes left on the clock here at Hershey Park Stadium, and Middletown is up by the mercy rule here, 42-7, and the Raiders looking to tack another one on here as it's third and goal from the 3-yard line.
They put all the guns out there on this one. Mayerski's back there, Fox, Thompson. Thompson wants number four.
This is the QB sneak formation where they just muscle it forward. But no, it's going to be Mayerski getting the give, and he is going to dive forward, and he is in for the touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Is that his first carry of the year?
No, he's had a couple.
Oh, okay. I know he hasn't had one recently.
Yeah, I think he's had a couple, hasn't he?
I don't think he has.
I'm not sure.
Based on the numbers that I had stat-wise, he hadn't run the ball all season long, and they give the senior fullback one here, and he's in the end zone.
I thought for sure he had just a couple belly dives in this season, but none for a touchdown. Spread the wealth.
A 3-yard run for Mayerski, and Brady in for the extra point. Snap. Old kick is on the way, and the kick is good. So we'll take timeout again. 11:54 left to play in the fourth quarter. It is Middletown 49, Notre Dame Green Pond 7. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
MidPen Bank congratulates the Blue Raiders on a great season. MidPen Bank customers can count on banking made simple, including its simply free checking. MidPen Bank's Middletown branch is located in Lower Swatara Township, 1100 Spring Garden Drive. MidPen Bank is also online at midpenbank.com. Good luck, Raiders, from MidPen Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Hershey Park Stadium. The Raiders are running riot here with 11:54 in the fourth quarter, 49-7 over Notre Dame Green Pond.
Updated score, Steel High now down 48-6 to Bishop Guilfoyle. Congratulations to the Rollers on what they were able to accomplish this year, but their season will end in the state semifinals.
Simpson will pick up the kickoff. Heads over all the way to the far side of the field where he's going to be pushed out of bounds.
Guys, I don't know if you've noticed, but I love driving by the school and seeing all the Raider Pride signs in the window and other Blue Raider signs. You see it around town now. A lot of houses, a lot of players. The Blue and Gold Club still, I think, has about 20-yard signs that they are selling, Raider Pride signs. But you know what? Great time just to make your own sign. If you can't buy one somewhere, make it, put it in the yard, put it in the window. These guys see it as they're going home or dropping off a buddy or whatever. Middletown should be lit up all this coming week, including all the businesses who have signage out front and can change it, a pizza order, to something about the Blue Raiders.
Deep pass down the middle, and it is going to be knocked up, and they're going to throw the flag. It's in triple coverage.
It's going to be on Trey Leach for hitting a defenseless receiver.
That's almost a triple crunch on him.
By the way, that was Mayerski's first run.
I stand corrected. I thought for sure he had a couple.
I didn't remember him running a single time all year, so.
That's easy for you.
Yeah. Hey, you're but covering Central Dolphin much of the time.
I understand that.
As with Brian, I knew that he was not listed in the stats on the internet.
Right.
But I had to go through my sheets to make sure because I don't trust
things. I don't trust him, but I also know that he's listed as a starter technically as a fullback. And
he has led the way several times this season.
As a blocker this year, he has contributed. And every once in a while, you want to let the guys who get the block get that opportunity to score a touchdown. And Mayerski got that opportunity.
He has a touchdown in a state semifinal game. DeFranco scrambling, running to the Right side gets to the sideline and tiptoes out of bounds. Just across the 40 to the 39, a gain of 11 and a first down for Notre Dame Green Pond.
Now, Brian, I want to get back to that the point I was making about the signage, because it does mean so much and these guys see it. But those of you who are fans, those of you who have neighbors, encourage them. The more you light this town up, it just fuels these guys up more and more.
Handoff goes up the middle. Is that Grube on the carry? I think it's going to be Grube for about 6 yards. That's his first carry of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right, John. And the support already from this community. I mean, look at this side of the field.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt that there's many people in Middletown right now. But, I mean, we're happy to bring this game to all of you who are listening at this point.
Pass to Daniel over on the left side. Complete down to the 21-yard line. Gain of 12 yards for Notre Dame Green Pond.
But there are so many people here supporting this team and letting these guys know how much this means to a community right now. And, you know, it's not one of the programs that gets there every single year. This is a special moment for this Middletown team, and it's a special moment for the Middletown community.
Hunter Landis banged up on that last play, comes out.
First down. It's going to be a middle screen that is caught by Grube. He tries to cut back 15 and down to the 13-yard line.
Hence why, at this point, the margin of victory does not matter anymore. You have this one pretty much on ice. And if you need to, you can get guys back out there. It's time to start pulling guys off slightly.
DeFranco to pass on second down, throws the out, and it is incomplete. They say trapped it at the 5-yard line. Looking to get it to Goffredo.
Dylan Andre out there covering him that time.
Does Simpson have a catch in this game, Steve?
Yeah, two.
Okay.
One for 59 yards and then one for minus one.
Okay.
Shut him down.
The 59-yarder was one of those slip screens. I wasn't sure if, but he hasn't gotten anything down the field, and that's been surprising.
DeFranco on third down and two. Steps around in the pocket. Now we'll have to run 15-10. And he's going to be tackled just inside the 5-yard line. It'll be first and goal at the 4.
Coming into this game, Simpson with 808 yards, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah.
Yeah, 65 catches on the season coming in.
Oh, yeah.
65. And here's a guy who has caught the ball twice, and none of them down the field. It's all been right around the line of scrimmage, the only two catches he's made.
First and goal at the 4. DeFranco, shotgun. He will throw across the middle, and it's incomplete. Looking to get it to Collius just inside the end zone.
Stay tuned for the post-game show. We'll be live on the field. Check us out on Facebook, WMSS 91.1 FM. For those of you listening to us on the internet, glad to have you along. Our Owen Header down there as well will be joining us.
Second down and goal from the 4. Three receivers to the right side. Franco back to pass. We'll throw, and the ball is going to be batted. And incomplete.
That's Tristan Maxwell, I believe, who was over there with the big arm, the 6'3" defensive end, getting it up and knocking it down.
Well, the crowd getting a little boisterous here.
That's because Hayden Landis threw him to the ground, and then when he got up, he offered to help up, you know, Cole DeFranco, and he didn't want any part of it. That's why they groaned. Third down and goal at the 4. Two receivers to either side. DeFranco will keep it himself. It's quarterback keeper, and he's going to cut back, and he will be into the end zone for the touchdown, a 4-yard touchdown run for Cole DeFranco, and the Crusaders get into double digits here. It's 49-13.
Contained him to the outside, forced him back to the inside, not quick enough to get there. Look at him. They're angry.
Yeah.
They're angry. They gave up another touchdown. They've given up, 12 points on average this season.
Yeah, Kyle Truesdale's out there, 10.6 to be exact.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we give the defense the proper credit that they deserve. But Truesdale got up after that one, saw that he had snuck into the end zone just barely, and he was mad. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's punching his own hand, and I mean, he's frustrated about it. I mean, that's how much this means to this team, that they take it personally when somebody scores, whether the starters are in or not.
Extra point attempt by Alex Garrido is up and good. So we'll take timeout. 7:39 left to play in the fourth quarter. It's Middletown 49, Notre Dame Green Pond 14. Back after this on the Faker Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Oh, we'll keep it right here. This Wednesday night, the Blue and Gold Club is helping to sponsor the Meet the Winner Team Night. So all the winter sports, and let me tell you what, they're missing a lot of players right now.
Yeah.
They will be introduced at Middletown High School in the gymnasium, 7:30, Wednesday night. So the public's invited out to see those guys and the guys that, you know,
and
are
gals.
Expected to be there. And gals. Girls basketball.
They start up on Tuesday night, I believe. Middletown boys basketball was supposed to start on Tuesday. Those games with Elizabethtown have been postponed because,
yeah.
Well, you got to be able to put a team out on the field. And next weekend, they're supposed to be playing in a tournament at Lower Dauphin. So,
and it sounds like they're taking those teams that they were going to play in at and just moving them to regular season games later on. They don't have enough guys.
They don't. That's, well, you're a triple-A school. There's only so many guys
That's
you
right.
have available.
Crusaders will try the onside kick. It is going to be knocked up in the air, and it goes out of bounds. So Middletown will get it where it went out at the 38-yard line of Middletown with 7:39 left to play.
Aaron McDevitt getting a hand on that one before it went out of bounds, but there was a rifling ball skidding across the turf here.
McDevitt's also in the band, right? I'm
yeah.
almost sure he's one of those players that when you see the band performing.
His twin brother John is, but I think you're right. I think Aaron is also.
There's one football player that's always out there performing with the band at halftime, and I think it is Aaron. Yeah.
Except for now. In the playoffs, he's not.
The Blue Wave band does a nice job. They come out. They don't do their performance anymore, but they still come out and play some good music.
It's like the second string running backs are now in for Middletown, and it's going to be a low snap, and Snavely just has to fall on it back at the 32-yard line, a loss of about 6 yards on the play.
Well, we had a couple scares this season when Middletown kept their starters in late in games. And there were some close plays, and we saw some guys get up or lay down getting cramped up and weren't sure what had happened to them. But Snavely, for the most part, was just doing handoffs. When they got into late games, they never took him out this season.
You don't have to worry about that this
yep.
time.
Yeah.
Scott Ash, sophomore quarterback.
There you go.
In the game now, in addition to the entire starting offensive line going off the field. I think also you had a couple of Middletown players who – after that last play, a couple of the Notre Dame Green Pond players were doing a little bit of talking. I know Trey Michael said something on his way off the field.
yeah, we enjoyed the article.
thanks for your pregame speech. We didn't need anything to really motivate us today. Trust me, the players knew. And whenever they see something like that, there's no question. I mean, if you're not fired up to begin with, but when a team sort of disrespects you in a way that's not looked upon favorably.
Handoff is going to go to Lopez. He'll run it to the right side. It's knocked out of bounds around the 43-yard line. Got about 10 on the carry.
We've seen guys like Lopez late in the games, even though he sees regular action during his first three quarters. We've seen Gamble out there at times this season late in the games, Figueroa. These guys have come out and made a late contribution. I think it was mostly that Trinity game where anything Middletown touched was in the end zone.
Yeah, anything went in that game. Middletown put 69 on the board in that one. Third down and 5 here. Hand off. That's going to go to Figueroa going to the right side. He's going to get strung out, loses the football. It's picked up by Notre Dame Green Pond, and they'll have it at the 25-yard line.
Jack Nesbitt, starting defensive end, able to pick up the fumble from Figueroa.
Well, we've seen teams do that this season as well. They've kept the starters out there certain games against the Middletown second team or JV team and try to put some cosmetic
sure.
look to the score. But, you know.
We know what the ugliness was of this game.
That's right. We know how you were limping away to the locker room afterwards.
6:31 to play. Notre Dame Green Pine with the football at the Middletown 25-yard line. I think some of the starters are still out there for Middletown, but for the most part, it is a second unit. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. DeFranco back to pass. Will float one up, and it's going to be incomplete. Looking to get it to Goffredo. He kind of shoved Dylan Andre away a little bit, got away with it, but couldn't come down with the football anyway.
And there should have been an illegal substitution on the other side of the field. because one of the rules is that when you have a guy come in from the sideline, they have to go between the hashes because you can't just sneak somebody off the sideline. Notre Dame Green Pond did that. It's something that Coach Myers saw that they got away with last week against Delaware Valley Charter the entire time, and not this time.
DeFranco will be sacked on second down, stepped up in the pocket, and just ran out of real estate. I think Hayden Landis might have been the guy that got him.
And then Maxwell still out there as well. You mentioned a couple guys staying out. Tristan made sure he got in on some of that action, too.
By the way, that's the fifth sack tonight by the Middletown defense.
The guys who go one way are still out there for Middletown.
Three receivers to the right, one to the left. DeFranco, shotgun. Takes the snap in the pocket. We'll float it down the middle of the field, and it is going to be incomplete. It should have been intercepted by Kyle Truesdale.
He had it. He's just hitting himself right now, but that's all right.
We'll be having a talk in class on Monday.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Won't be deducting any of that math score.
Oh, no, definitely okay. Not. Definitely not. I'm just...
Fourth down and 12, the Crusaders line up to go for it. Four receivers on the right side of the formation, just one to the left. As DeFranco takes the snap, has to run, and he is in trouble. Gets away once, but not twice, and he's going to be ripped down. Josh Brown is the guy who gets him at the end, and Middletown takes over on down.
Cole Sr. in there as well. Maxwell wanted a piece of it. Everybody's trying to get him down.
Yeah, and that just shows that Notre Dame Green Pond can keep your starters in at this point and try to make something cosmetic. There's some backups who have been playing behind some very good teams and some very good players who are out there for Middletown hungry, wanting to get some action out there running through that offensive line.
First down for Middletown at their own 33-yard line, 4:20 and counting on the clock. Handoff goes up the middle. That's Abel Botterbush, and he'll get maybe back to the line of scrimmage.
An Eastern championship for Middletown. Furthest any football team has ever gone in its team history. But you know what? That will be, that will mean anything to these guys. They have their sights set on the biggest prize of it all next week.
So it's going to mean something, but not until the season is over.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, the goal for this team, they knew how special they could be. And this is what they had their eyes set on. And they're one game away from their goal.
Second down, handoff. That will go to Lopez, and he'll work his way over to the sideline. Gets knocked down after a gain of 4 yards.
We mentioned much of the season. This very well could be the best Middletown team in Middletown football history. We really don't. And aren't able to compare because football maybe was just slightly different as Bull Schwartz talked at halftime, but it's still the same game, those teams who were unbeaten back in the 60s and the 70s. But what this team has shown and accomplished this season, just so far superior than I think even those 86 and 88 teams that we had.
I know it's a more complete team than those teams. There's Lopez cutting one back, and he's to daylight 40, 20. 10-5 touchdown. There's a flag back near the line of scrimmage. But we will see what the flag is about. This might wipe a good run by Lopez off the board.
A great cut by Lopez, who is definitely the future of this team in the backfield as well. You got to see him on several occasions this year show his speed back there, and there it was where it plants the foot and just accelerates cutting back across the middle of the formation.
Well, it's a mercy rule, so you might as well give the other team a little mercy somehow. And that's what they did right there. For those who don't know, Notre Dame Green Pond is located in Easton. Just several miles east of where we were last week in Bethlehem. You have Allentown, then Bethlehem, then Easton, and then the river with the New Jersey line. And Easton's all the way down 78 on to 22. And they certainly have a long and painful ride back tonight.
It's been a great year for them, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, it stings now. But this is a team with a sophomore quarterback that's going to look back eventually and say, you know what? One, we lost to a really good team, but we had a great season.
Ash will bootleg out, and he will get tackled back at the 25-yard line. Loss of 5. So make a loss of 8.
Well, keep an eye on our website all week, WMSSFM.com, on our Facebook page. We'll keep you filled in on the events, what's going on, what's happening, when we'll be on, and next week's broadcast here on WMSS 91.1 FM.
We're going to go with a 3-hour pregame show?
Yeah, we could.
No. Lopez will try the jet sweep and cut back like he did on the big run that got called back on 4th down and 17. He'll get caught for a gain of 2, and Raiders will surrender the ball here with a minute 27 left on the clock at their own, at their own 27-yard line.
We don't know what days yet, but there will be tickets on sale at the high school, as they have been doing the last few weeks. So look for the evening hours, usually 5:30 till 7 in the evening, that you are able to get tickets at the high school. They'll announce it on RaiderWeb.org. You can check it out there. Our website will let you know. And again, the Blue and Gold Club will be selling those yard signs as well when you come for tickets. So if you don't have a yard sign and need a sign, they'll be able to help you out. If not, make one. Find an old bed sheet. Spray paint it. Something.
First down here for Notre Dame Green Pond as the clock is winding up with a minute and counting, and it looks like they're just going to kneel on it. Well, their little guy out there is one of the managers.
Mike Purvis is his name, and he has been an inspiration to this Notre Dame Green Pond team all season long. Wears number 99. Not sure his official height, but it's I saw him out there on the field. You know, and this is what sport is about. And great to see them honor him out there and give him a chance for some final snaps.
The Raiders are calling for him to give him the ball. It's just going to be a knee, and the Raider fans are going to boo. It would have been cool to see him give him the ball, and if you could arrange it for him to go down and score, but it's not going to happen. That's the last snap of the game, and the final 8 seconds will wind off the clock. And for the first time in school history, the Middletown Blue Raiders will play for the state championship next Saturday at 3:30 against Beaver Falls. Our final score here tonight, Middletown 49, Notre Dame Green Pond 14. Back with the post-game show after this on the Fager Finkelmeyer Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 would like to congratulate the Blue Raiders on a great season. The Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown. For more information about joining the VFW Post 1620, you can call 944-3137 or check out VFWPost1620.com. Congratulations, Blue Raiders, from Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Welcome back to Hershey Park Stadium to the post-game show where Middletown defeated Notre Dame Green Pond tonight 49-14 in the state semifinal. And I believe we have John Wilsbach down on the field. Let's go down to him.
Of all season, this team start to finish just getting the job done.
Yeah, without a doubt. Pius does some things on offense that we were able to take advantage of. You know, Coach Ortiz and them did a great job setting that up. And, kind of knew that was going to come based on our Wednesday defensive practice.
Offensively, you use the run. Both runners over 100 yards, and especially Jalen getting the job into the end zone, too.
Without a doubt, you know, they do some things on defense that we knew we'd be able to take advantage of also. And, you know, it didn't change on game day. They didn't make many adjustments, so we just did what we do.
Defensively, you knew they had that passing attack. The secondary came up big, and you had the great pressure up front.
Yeah, you know, I mean, pretty simple. Our defense has played great all year, and this isn't a shock to anybody that our defense came out tonight and played well. I know there's been a lot of things said about their passing attack, but down in the end, you know, we got a really good defense, and we got a great defensive staff, and our kids did exactly what we expect them to do tonight.
Well, we got Hunter Landis here, too, and Hunter, we talk about the defense, and you guys not giving up a lot of points all season, and once again, you got to the quarterback, you got the pressure on, and did a great job.
Yeah, you know, it's a group effort. We're all working hard, learning everything, film every week. Just getting to that quarterback is important, you know, just pressuring him. We knew they were passing.
Yeah. You shut down the running game, too.
Yeah, we all got responsibilities. When we all do our job, everything works perfectly.
It just seems as the game goes on and things are happening out here on the field, it just fuels the fire for you, and you guys you get more intense as the game goes on.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's like a 12-round fight. Get a couple teeth knocked out, keep on fighting. That's how we go.
You got the Eastern Championship, and now you're headed off. I know the ultimate goal is next week. You're going to just enjoy this for a little bit.
Yeah, we're starting fresh, 0-0 next week. Celebrate tonight, that's it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hunter Landis and Coach, Eastern Championship, congratulations. And now you're off to face Beaver Falls right back here next week, and I know that you'll be up bright and early looking at that scouting.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, I'd expect a little fuller house come next week. You know, it's kind of a challenge to all the fans in Middletown. I know there's a ton of people listening all across the state to you guys, but I expect this place to be pretty much full on both sides next week with Middletown people.
Are you enjoying this? As a coach, you stay so focused, but are you enjoying it, Brent?
Yeah, I enjoyed watching those 7 sacks tonight and watching our DBs shut down all their wide receivers. It was a great night to watch.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Brett Myers and Hunter Landis back upstairs.
Thank you very much, John. And how do you say this in a nice way here? For those who did not hear what is maybe just a little bit of a dig, you think?
Yeah, just a little bit, I think.
Coach Myers, one of the articles that came out this week, Coach Stanwall of Notre Dame Green Pond came out and said in the press that there are some things that we saw that we think we can take advantage of. Well, Coach Myers waited until after the game.
And used the exact same line.
The exact same line. But the bottom line is you can do that. When your team puts a 49-14 whooping on your opponent in a state semifinal game.
Yep, and another week here late in the season, Middletown scoring in the 40s, and another mercy rule game for Middletown is, you know, this team over the last, you know, really over the 4 playoff games that they've had in the last 2 weeks of the season, Middletown went into that Milton Hershey game, and we thought that was the real test to see where this team was going to go, and they passed that test with flying colors, and I don't think anybody had Middletown losing a game. I know I didn't until possibly next week. And it's going to be a tough game next week against Beaver Falls.
No question,
they are a battle-tested team coming out of the WPIL.
Let me pull out a couple of names for you that you're going to have to worry about next week if you're Middletown for Beaver Falls. The first one is Donovan Jeter. He would be a guy who originally had declared for Notre Dame, changed his mind, and now is a Michigan recruit. He is 6'5", 250 pounds. Here's the scary thing in one way for you if you're the Blue Raiders and you hear that. He is not the MVP of the conference that he's in defensively, even though he's going to Michigan. That honor would go to one of his teammates. That is their nose tackle, Raekwon Crowder, who is a 6'4", 315-pound load in the middle. And that's going to be who the Middletown offensive line, who has been moving everyone around so far in the playoffs, with the exception, they didn't really move Scranton Prep around. They didn't lose the battle in the trenches. They were winning, at least winning part of the battle, but they didn't run for huge numbers last week. They ran well enough. But this is a Beaver Falls team that defensively, they get after it. And they were able to hold down a Central Martinsburg team today by a score of 14-7. They scored two touchdowns in the second half. Not explosive on the offensive side of the ball. It's a very ground control game that they tend to play.
Yeah, they have a running back that Central Martinsburg had, a guy that he ran for, what, 2,700 yards this year and 41 touchdowns.
Correct. That was Alex Hohenstein.
Right.
24,000 yards. And the fact that he
2,400 yards.
2,400, yeah. And, well, he also had over 300 carries after tonight's game. And that almost borders on child abuse for a high school kid throwing him out there 300 times on the ground. But, you know, they were able to shut him down tonight. They were able to shut down everyone. And the other thing is, that's a team that is also a little bit fresher in regards to the fact that after the Whipple Championship game, they got a week off because of how there were only seven teams, and the Whipple champion was deemed the one that, and by the bracketing, that would get the bye. And then they played tonight, and they seemed like they were a little bit fresher because they really came out in the second half and were able to hold off Martinsburg Central. So, hey, you never, ever expect an easy game when you go to a state championship.
No.
And to be honest with you, you don't expect easy games on your way there. So far for Middletown, they've made it look a lot easier than it should be, though. And they're going to come out next week with every opportunity to take a state championship away from Beaver Falls.
Yeah, and who's the favorite in the game? I don't know. I think you're going to see a lot of the media come out and say, this could be one of the best games of the weekend.
Yeah,
I think so.
I there's going to be bigger names, I think, for other teams. I mean, you got some all-star teams across the state that are going to be showing up in Hershey next weekend. I don't know that we have the all-star team, but you've got a hard-nosed football team that plays together on this Middletown side, and you've got a Beaver Falls team. And folks, when Coach Myers said it's going to be a little bit fuller, the last two games, Scranton Prep and Notre Dame Green Pond, brought very little in terms of fans. Beaver Falls will travel. There will be a lot of people coming here from both sides.
And it's the first time that they are in the state final as well.
Correct.
And that's a very proud school and a very proud program. They've had it. They've had their fits with Aliquippa over the years, I'm sure. Yep. But they got by them this year.
They said this was the year. They had to get over the hump. They got blown out by Aliquippa when they played them in the second week of the season. Got their revenge in the Whipple Championship, beating them 35-23 in that one. And that's where we are at this point. So let's bring it on. Of course, we got to go over some stats and everything though first.
All right, yeah, we'll do that right now as we'll look at Notre Dame Green Pond first. As the leading rusher for the Crusaders, Cole DeFranco, 12 carries, 63 yards, and one touchdown. Mitch Daniel, 4 for 28, and one touchdown. Gerald Grube carried it one time. That was for 6 yards. Receiving, Mitch Daniel, 3 catches, 26 yards. Austin Collius, 3 for 22. Jalen Simpson, 2 for 58. Constantino, 1 for 28. Grube, 1 for 8. John Moran, 1 for 8, or 1 for 4. Isaiah DeJesus, 1 for 4. Cole DeFranco, 12 for 27, 147 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. Team totals
for Notre Dame. Green Pond on the ground, 18 carries for 89 yards, 147 through the air, sacked five times for a loss of 27. It was 209 yards of total offense for the Crusaders. For Middletown, both running backs over 100 yards tonight. Jalen Thompson, 21 for 158 and two scores. Brady Fox, 18 for 119 and a touchdown. Jose Lopez, 3 for 16. Chase Navely, 1 for 3. Tyre Mills, 1 for 5. Justin Myerski got his first carry of the season. That was good for 3 yards and a touchdown. Evan Figueroa, 1 for minus 5. Abel Botterbush, 1 for no gain. Scott Ash ran it one time. That lost 5 yards. Receiving, only 4 balls caught by Middletown receivers tonight. Trey Leach, 2 for 81 and a touchdown. Jalen Thompson, 1 for 33 and a touchdown. Malik Noon, 1 for 13. And a touchdown. Chase Snavely, just 4 for 12, but that went for 127 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Team totals for the Raiders. On the ground, 49 carries, 289 yards, 127 through the air. It was 416 yards of total offense for Middletown here tonight. Scoring recap, we'll rifle down through that. First quarter, Jalen Thompson, 3-yard touchdown run. And Trey Leach, a 55-yard pass from Snavely. It's 14-0 after 2 Brady extra points. And that was after the first quarter. Second quarter, Middletown extended their lead. Thompson, a 6-yard touchdown run. Fox, a 32-yard run. It was 28-0 after the extra points again. Then Mitch Daniel scored on a 22-yard run for Notre Dame Green Pond to get them on the board. It was 28-7. Then Middletown scored with 32 seconds left in the half. Thompson, a 33-yard touchdown pass from Snavely. Raiders extra point made it 35-7 at halftime. Raiders got it in the third quarter. They scored on, I believe, their second possession of the half. Malik Noon, a 13-yard pass from Snavely. It was 42-7 after 3. And that enabled the mercy rule. And Myerski, on the first play of the fourth quarter, went in from 3 yards out. And then Cole DeFranco scored a mop-up touchdown for Notre Dame Green Pond in garbage time. From 4 yards out, 7:39 to play. And the extra points, all good from both kickers. And it's 49-14 in favor of the Middletown Blue Raiders, who advance to the state championship game next Saturday afternoon.
And if you missed any of the highlights in this game, we've got them on our Facebook page, video that is. And you can check that out at the WMSS 91.1 FM Facebook page. So check that out, and you'll see the post-game interview as well with Coach Brett Myers. And Hunter Landis, Coach Myers, taking a few digs in there and having a good time with it.
Just a couple.
And
No harm, no foul.
Well, that's right. And so check that out. We're going to come back with a final recap, the out-of-town scores, unless you think you're ready.
Brian. I'm ready.
Go ahead. Knock them out.
Let's start with single A. Bishop Guilfoyle blows out Steel High tonight, so the Rollers end their season at 6-8 overall. Bishop Guilfoyle, the two-time defending champions, advance with a 48-6 victory against the Rollers. Their next opponent looks like it's going to be Clairton, although that game is in the fourth quarter. Farrell has gotten closer, but Clairton with an 18-6 lead right now. So it looks like another installment of Bishop Guilfoyle and Clairton. Okay, moving on to double A, where Southern Columbia went out to a decent-sized lead and held off Ligonier Valley late. Southern Columbia returns to the state championship game in double A with a 31-27 victory over Ligonier Valley. Their next opponent will be Steel Valley, a mercy rule victory for Steel Valley today. 49-13, they blow out Wilmington. Triple A, the game we had here, Middletown Mercy Rules, Notre Dame Green Pond, 49-14. It will be Middletown against Beaver Falls, who is a 14-7 winner tonight over Martinsburg Central. We go to the Quad A, and in Quad A, Imhotep Charter struggles with Bethlehem Catholic, but finally gets an insurance touchdown late. They win 24-13. Their next opponent will be Cathedral Prep. They knock off Berks Catholic, the District 3 champ, 28-14. One other game that happened tonight, and that was a blowout of major proportion. Last score I've got there is 37. Nope, 37-0 is apparently the final score as Archbishop Wood shuts out Academy Park with their all-star team. The Harrisburg all-star team will play tomorrow as they will take on West Allegheny in a game that we played at Mansion Park at 1 o'clock. The winner of those two games play next Friday night, and in the other classification district, it's 6A. It is St. Joe's Prep at North Penn, 5 o'clock tomorrow at Northeast, and it is Pittsburgh Central Catholic against Wilson at Mansion Park. That game is at 7 o'clock. So a doubleheader for District 7 versus District 3 teams tomorrow. And right now, as it stands, Middletown, the lone District 3 team to get through so far. Harrisburg-Wilson, a chance to join them tomorrow.
And we encourage all of you leaving the game, listening in. If you haven't gotten a Middletown sign, make one. Buy one from the Blue and Gold Club. Break out the signs that they gave out there at the end of the season, the regular season, at the football game at Middletown. And also encourage all the local businesses who have signage, who have the little billboards and signs out front, to put something on instead of a special about their food or what have you, about the Middletown Blue Raiders. And good luck to the Raiders this week. Let's get that Raider pride going throughout all of Middletown, Lower Swatara Township and Royalton, Londonderry Township, all around the Middletown area.
Chance for the school's first team state championship since 2001,
yeah,
when the boys soccer team won, and also basketball all the way back in 1968.
Saw Casper Voyer for last night and kind of making some jokes about that. So it's great that here Middletown is finally able to win possibly its first ever football championship, and it has been a great ride this season, great journey, but we know that there is still one more to go for all the Raider fans. So we look forward to having you. If you're a business sponsor, you want to sponsor the broadcast next week, 948-9136 this week, get a hold of us, even if it's just a congratulatory type spot, and we'd love to get that on for you. And we appreciate everyone's help and support, especially our sponsors, who you're going to hear here shortly, and the Middletown Area Alumni Association and American Legion Post 594. They help out with our streaming cost for those of you listening on the internet, and check out our Facebook page for all of the highlights. Guys, I think that should wrap it up. You have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is, coming into this game, I thought Middletown was going to win this game. I thought Middletown was going to win last week as well. Yeah. Next week's a different beast. Next week, I felt that whoever comes out of the West is going to be really the first real time that I think Middletown is going to be even up, maybe a slight underdog. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I think it's going to be people are going to pick Middletown. People are going to pick Beaver Falls. It's going to be a tight game, and Middletown made it look easy here tonight, but it is going to be tough sledding next Saturday afternoon.
I think last week's win against Scranton Prep is a victory that was more impressive than what maybe we thought it was initially. I mean, it's a game where that Scranton Prep team is a very good football team, and you just have a team right now in Middletown that is playing their best football of the season in a year where they have played some great football. Now next week, they've got to go out there one more time, because tonight's performance on paper and seeing things, the thing that stood out to me coming into this game was the way that the opponent this week could not stop the run. And that's not a good sign for you coming in when you're playing against Middletown. Next week, the opponent is big. They are brawny. They are a tough team. And I think we may be in for a game very similar to the type of scoring that we saw in that Palmyra game earlier this season. Middletown, they've got to bring their A game, and they have. They've answered the bell every time we've asked them to so far, and good luck to the boys next week, because it's going to be one heck of a ball game. Looking forward to it. It's been a great ride so far. We hope it goes one more time.
All right. Well, we hope you tune in to us next week. We know we'll be on the air at least 3 o'clock, maybe a little earlier, depending on how much content that we have for our pregame show. And those of you coming to the game next week, bring the Walkman radio or the smartphone and listen on the tune-in after that pregame show. And we will have a lot of analysis, a lot of interviews, and a lot of information to pass along about that matchup. So we look forward to having you back on the radio with us, 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com. I want to thank our studio producer, Darren Rank, our sideline guys tonight, Damar Parker, also Owen Heder, and for our Facebook guy, where you can catch all the highlights and all of the other information, Dan Magaro. For Steve Leedy, Brian Kaiser, this is John Wilsbach thanking you for tuning in once again. Our final score, Middletown 49 and Notre Dame Green Pond 14. And you've been listening to the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
You've been listening to Middletown Playoff Football on WMSS. Today's game was brought to you in part by the FW Post 1620, Mid-Penn Bank, Jim Siebert's Garage, the Hetrick Center, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, the Black Horse Tavern, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, Jack's Auto Sales, Brownstone Cafe, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, DHL, J&J Pizzeria, With Kids in Mind, the Middletown Home, Gingrich Memorials, JED's Junction, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, Middletown Pharmacy, Creations With You in Mind, and the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home. Your home for the best in high school sports is WMSS and WMSSFM.com.